Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan, if we had pretty much exhausted this bit beyond reasoning.
I think we already did this version of the bit last episode.
Oh, did we? All right. Well, you know way too much about Alex Jones.
True.
And currently, I also know way too much about Alex Jones. However, we have varying degrees of where our lines.
You know a little bit less, and I know a little bit more today.
Yes.
I have found some very juicy business for us to go over today, but before we get into today's episode...
That really does water down the show. It's like, I know a little bit more about Alex Jones, and he knows a little bit less.
Yeah.
And therein is the rub. Like,
exactly.
Well, that's not really a...
We've both made up our minds, and who cares? So today...
We do a show about a piece of shit. All right.
Something that's not a piece of shit is our new donor.
God, that's some great transitions.
That wasn't my favorite, but something that is my favorite is our new donor. Two layers.
Great, great.
I'd like to give a shout out and a thank you so much to Christopher. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christopher.
What a
Christopher
treat.
Robin in theaters in August. I believe he's our new sponsor.
Very excited about that.
That movie is our new sponsor.
And as I told you the other night when we were hanging out, I played Winnie the Pooh in a fire prevention skit when
That's
I was
true.
In seventh grade.
That's true.
So me and Christopher Robin go way back.
Yeah.
Although I wasn't allowed to play Christopher Robin or the more appropriate character Eeyore because I was a bummed out kid.
Yeah.
I had to play Winnie the Pooh. I said, oh, bother with the best of them. Anyway, let's get into...
What's the pantheon of O-Bothers?
Me, Winnie yep. the Pooh. That's
Winnie
it.
The Pooh, that's yep. it? All right.
So today, Jordan, we have a very interesting episode to go over, and I'd like to start things off with an out-of-context drop
Excellent.
From Alex Jones.
In the video, I finger Soros.
Ah?
He fingered Soros. So that's good fun.
That is fun.
In the video... I finger Soros.
That's edited, Dan.
Of course.
I'm telling you, that's not the context.
Nah.
Man, you're the Project Veritas of Alex Jones finger fucking people.
Only for the first few minutes of the show, and then we get real serious business.
Right.
So today, Jordan, what I wanted to do, over the weekend and right towards the end of last week, we saw our old buddy, our good friend, living his best life, Roger Stone, get named, without being named, in an indictment of 12 Russians who hacked the DNC,
Pretty
hacked
hilarious.
George Soros,
yeah.
Behind the entities, the DNC leaks, and Guccifer 2.0. And Roger Stone was forced to go and embarrass himself on national television.
It's pretty great.
Having Chris Cuomo be like, what are you talking about? Earlier today, you said that wasn't you, and it's clearly you.
My favorite part.
You released the private messages that are completely a one-to-one match with what's in this indictment. Well, yes, now that it's later in the day, I am saying that it's probably me. You were saying that Roger was thrown, I think he was a little bit, but I've realized that one of the things that threw him the most is that Chris Cuomo used one of him and Alex's big catchphrases before Roger could to take the power out of it.
Okay.
When Chris Cuomo said, I know, they can indict a ham sandwich, but look
oh,
at this.
Oh, there you go.
Because that's one of their big catchphrases.
Nice.
And now Roger can't use it. He took
right.
that off the table.
Right, right, right.
And I think Roger was like, you motherfucker, you son of a bitch.
That's all we have to do. We just have to cuck out their sayings.
You just have to use it before they do in an interview, and apparently it's
every
like,
time. Every interview we do, the first thing we should say is like, and I know you're going to try and cuck me out on this one. And then they're going to be like, I don't know what
Shit.
To do. Fuck.
And then, before you know it, he's like, well, actually, they can also indict a cheese sandwich.
Damn it! Damn it, Roger, you're too good!
Ah, you're the slipperiest!
And as I explained to you, what I got to witness in that interview was the evidence that Roger Stone isn't really as good as we think he is. Like, we have an elevated version of his trickiness because he's always against Alex Jones.
Right.
He's up in that world, or back when he could just yell at people on CNN and stuff like that, back when he could call people like, pretty racially charged things, like I think he called Don Lemon a mediocre Negro or something. No, that was someone else.
Yeah, but yeah,
he
yeah. yeah.
It was at least,
Oh, no, no, no. We all know he said some racist shit. Nobody can remember the specifics.
Affirmative action hires or some shit like that.
Yeah. Now,
then he could be slippery in a way that he's baiting you and trying to make you angry.
Right.
But now he can't really play that game. It doesn't really.
Because he'll get kicked off and he won't be invited back on anymore.
It doesn't really work as well. So. Well,
and it's like Duke playing, Kentucky, like, whatever it is, like a Winamax State or something like that, where it's like, all right, on InfoWars, Roger Stone is dunking on people.
Right.
No competition whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like a rockin' jock b-ball.
Exactly. And then he goes on CNN and he's like, oh shit, this is level. I'm out of practice on this. I've been on InfoWars too long.
I've been playing with children.
Exactly.
I'm co-hosting a show with Owen Schroyer.
Yeah, I don't know how to.
I can't handle a real question.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Wait,
I could lie in the morning, in the evening, and nobody would question me on InfoWars. I could lie from one sentence to the next and contradict myself, and everybody would be like, yeah, no, that's the smarter thing to do is contradict yourself. I love it.
And I like realizing that maybe his muscles have atrophied more than we realize.
Yeah.
But so I saw all that stuff and I thought, well, this is interesting because when we started the show, it was the beginning of 2017. And so we had some current stuff in 2017, and then we largely focused on going back to 2015, to the beginning of Trump's candidacy, to track Alex's path. And one of the things that we didn't do all that much of looking at 2016. And that's because it became fairly pointless once we realized the transition for Alex getting on Trump's wavelength.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like it wasn't all that important. But I realized that if you look at that indictment, there are dates in there. And I thought,
oh man,
I thought maybe it would be interesting to go to the exact day.
The day.
The day after Roger definitely is in contact with, Russian hackers.
Okay.
And see what happened on InfoWars. See if there's anything interesting.
That's a smart move.
Now, I'll tell you this. Something that is very interesting to me is that there is a YouTube channel that I largely get most of my episodes from.
Uh-huh.
It's a guy named Ron Gibson who has a channel on YouTube.
It'd be hilarious if it was Ron Guccifer.
That'd be funny as shit. So this channel is clearly in league with Alex Jones.
Yes.
In terms of, like, it has permission to
repost
these things. He posts by the hour updates. So it's like there's a chunk of Alex's first hour, second hour, third hour as separate videos.
Yeah.
And then a commercial-free entire show afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, he's every day. I don't think it's one guy either.
As you're saying this, I don't understand how I never thought to ask, like, if he is just reposting Alex Jones videos, why aren't they sending DMCA complaints?
He's not reposting them.
The obvious point is
he's in cahoots.
He works. Yeah, he works.
Or
with
it's an InfoWars operation to begin with, because it also reposts all of the special reports Alex does. It reposts and posts as one of the only places you can find them, like the War Room and David Knight's show. And now we haven't even talked about this, but Mike Adams has a Sunday show now.
What?
Yeah, who cares? It's not important.
Fair enough.
So I was like, okay, that's where I get most of my episodes from. You go into YouTube, search for August 16th, 2016.
Nothing.
It's one of the only episodes that Ron Gibson does not have on his page. You can find August 15th. You can find August 17th. It's interesting that this episode is not.
That one specific episode?
Now, I'll admit that there is a benign explanation that is entirely possible.
So many benign explanations.
Maybe he was sick. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
We've had an episode go missing. That happens from time to time.
Happens, possibly. You know, there is a benign explanation that I would accept, although it looks very sketchy. Now let's...
Is that because August 15th, Roger Stone was in contact with Guccifer 2.0?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But he was probably not in contact by the time Alex was on air.
The 15th, but on the 16th, all of that shit is wide open.
And today we're going over August 16th, 2016.
Dun, dun, dun!
Because I found another version of it not on that channel that's clearly affiliated with Alex Jones.
Yes.
Someone else had posted it.
Yeah.
And so now we will watch that and see if we can find any context clues as to suspicions going around.
Your like, knowing grin is delightful and can actually be heard through your voice.
Yeah, probably.
Everyone is like, Dan has got something.
Hey guys, spoiler alert, there's something big coming up. But first, let's deal with some small stuff.
Okay.
This is how Alex sort of kicks things off. As we know, it's something he's, sort of how he makes his bread and butter. It's mostly, white fears.
Yeah.
So he's scared that the UN is gonna do some bad stuff to whites.
Oh!
The video that we shot on Saturday is titled Shocker. UN admits migrant crisis plan to overthrow the West. And in their own words.
This isn't accurate.
They say, basically, get rid of white people. Now, they're selling this to the 90%+ of the planet that isn't white, and most of which happen to be third world, that this is a reverse colonialism conquering the West. The third world populations are being used as cannon fodder. Remember the global government tree that was leaked in 2008, the Copenhagen text? And what did it say?
Not what
they
you
were
say.
Going to right at double. It was right below doubling, 1 point below doubling the taxes on the third world that the West would pay.
So, that's, I mean.
I don't understand what that means.
It doesn't mean anything because he doesn't remember the details of this because it's years later.
Who is paying taxes on the third world?
That's not at all what, he's using numbers where they don't belong.
Okay.
So this is about this thing called the Danish text, not the Copenhagen text, but in fairness to Alex, it was released during the Copenhagen Climate Summit in 2009, not 2008. The big issue that people had with the text.
Petty.
Fair. the text, it wasn't just like a text message, like, you up?
Danish, okay,
you
up, all right.
You
all
up,
right.
Denmark?
All right. All right, Dan.
It did seem to illustrate, basically a public, private arrangement that was being worked out in many ways to subvert the Kyoto Protocols that was, between the United States, the United Kingdom, and Denmark, at least.
Right.
Probably other, actors involved. But the issue that people had with it was, one, it made a distinction between power levels of countries, which was stigmatizing to countries that were deemed vulnerable countries.
Right, because some of them were over 9,000.
What is that? What?
All right. People are going to get that, and the fact that you don't is going to make them laugh.
I was really trying to focus on the facts here.
You said power levels, so it's going to happen.
Power level 9,000?
It's over now. So
Power Man 5,000?
No, so there's this anime.
Oh, this is why I don't get it. Okay, never mind. Moving along.
Dragon Ball Z. Mm. Now, Goku, he's a Saiyan. He's not from this
Go
planet.
Talk to Hotep Jesus
he
about this.
I don't
want to hear
all
it.
Kinds of stuff going on. All right.
To be fair, the listeners do love your Dragon Ball Z talk, so maybe you should keep going.
And then Vegeta comes. He's an original Saiyan. There's only two left from the planet, and they work for Frieza. It's a whole mess.
All right, so the
I'm
second
telling
problem.
You right now.
Right. So the second problem was that it took a lot of the negotiating power away from the UN proper and allowed other entities to have a greater stake in the implementation concerns of climate change rules and stuff like that. And then we get back to the numbers that Alex is talking about. It's not taxes. It made an imbalance between rich and poor countries in terms of emission standards that they would have to reach by 2050. For rich countries, they could emit 2.67 tons per capita, as opposed to poor countries with 1.44 tons. So that is about double or so.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what he's talking about in terms of these numbers.
Yeah.
It's the emissions that would be allowed between these countries. And this caused quite a fervor, during this climate change conference and led to some rank disagreements. And rightfully so, I think. I mean,
so,
I don't think it's right that these.
So if I understand it, let me try and rephrase this in a way that makes sense. If I understand correctly, the rich countries are allowed far more leeway with their emissions than the poor countries.
And that,
despite the fact that the poor countries probably rely further upon those emissions to not be poor.
Right.
In order to break out of poverty.
Right. And I think the guiding principle of that is something we talk about sometimes, which is a little bit perhaps idealistic, that is building up third world countries in a better way than we did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you'd hope that just by virtue of newer technologies we have, they would have a lower emission rate, whether or not there was a cap there or
anything. But at the same time, you could view it as like, well, rich people get to drive in a car four times a week and poor people get to drive in a car twice.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. And no matter what, I think, shadowy background deals and stuff like that, I do think that Alex is correct in referencing this as like something that's, you know, being done clandestinely.
Yeah.
But he's still lying about it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well,
it's one of those things. It's like, meh.
Nobody wins.
Yeah. It's kind of a push. But. Who cares?
Right.
So now we get into Alex's rambling about how he doesn't like things that are tax exempt, which
Fair enough. But then he says something really...
I mean, this is a Christian nation, though.
It's true. But there's something he says at the end of this clip that just really made me... Blah.
Just like you see a cop car and it says tax exempt. The cop themselves
they
isn't a bad person,
exempt?
But that idea that the state is tax exempt and can give state powers to private corporations, making themselves exempt, they then organize higher taxes on everybody else, bring in third world populations to be their enforcers, and it's game over. By the way, that's actually in the documents as well. Now they're going to use the illegals as the new constabulary. That means the enforcers. But first, they have to remove the old constabulary. I'm Alex Jones. This is the program to defeat globalism.
All right.
That is a really bad plan.
Oh, dude, we're going to get to an even worse plan here in a little bit that he has in his mind. But, like, I don't know. All I hear there is, like, wah, and then this fear of illegals coming in as some sort of, like
police force.
Yeah, constabulary.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how the government, even under Obama, deported, almost like a million people?
Yeah.
They were really planning, like, in short order to, instead of deport people, give them badges.
Right.
And then have them fight the regular cops. And, you know, of course, they would no longer call themselves cops. They would call themselves constables. Because if there's anything I know about illegal aliens, it's that they really adhere to British customs.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that you have to take away from this is, like, when he says the old constabulary, he's not talking about the cops. He's talking about white people.
Yeah.
It's all just replacement fears.
He's talking about the KKK cops.
Right.
The KKK cops.
Keystone, cops. Yeah. So whatever. I don't care. That's just more like, this is the headspace he's in. I still think this is more interesting than present day, quite frankly. Already, we're only a couple clips in, and I'm already like, I'm more interested.
Well, he said something interesting about that, climate change agreement.
Well.
Like, that's an interesting thing that I didn't know that you confirmed is true. So that's fascinating.
True, and a lie. It's like two truths and a lie game.
Yeah.
That's sort of the best case scenario for Alex. Playing a party game.
We haven't played two truths and a lie on this show in a long time. When we talk about the present, it's just lies.
Well, here comes another lie.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to have a little bit of fun with the decline of
the
civilization. We have to have some gallows humor, but this is going to be an incredible transmission today, particularly. We have a major Stanford Research Institute study confirming Democratic election fraud on a massive scale to steal the election from Bernie Sanders. Now, I know you already know that. I know we chronicled that here on air. And the Republicans tried the same thing with Donald Trump, but because he fought back, they failed. And that is a lesson to us on every front about fighting back. But that is the big news today.
That's the big news. I actually disagree. There's much bigger news. But this is his big news. So his big news is there's this Stanford study, Stanford Research Institute study. What's that noise? That's an unfamiliar noise on our podcast.
You just said Stanford Research Institute.
I was just saying what he said.
Very specifically.
That's what he said.
Okay.
That's not where this came from.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
This wasn't a Stanford study, and it was not even a study. It was an...
You don't even get both right?
Nope.
You don't even get one right.
It was an unpeer-reviewed paper claiming to show election interference, citing exit polls. It asserted that Hillary Clinton did better in states where there was no paper trail to votes that you could follow back up on. But even just a cursory glimpse over their data shows that they did an incomplete job with the data. They counted states where there were multiple ways of voting, like paper votes, machines with a paper trail, or machines without a paper trail. Like, if you had a state where there were multiple options and one of them was the machines with no paper trail, they just counted the entire state as one with no paper trail.
So okay, I gotcha.
They completely just had incomplete, like, this would never stand up to scrutiny.
If there's a 66% paper trail, but not 100% paper trail.
They counted it as 30% no paper trail. That counts as a no paper trail state.
Yeah.
So the issue that you come to is, like, if this ever were put in front of a review board or any other researcher, they'd be like, this data is corrupt. It's not indicative of reality.
This is some Pruitt level data right here. You guys are so corrupt.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And further, it was not put out by the Stanford Research Institutes. It was written by two college students, one named Axel Gijssel of Tilsburg University in the Netherlands.
Sounds like somebody I want to trust.
And Rudolfo Cortez Barragan of Stanford University. And then it was disseminated on a website called The Burn Report and published and pushed on social media. Even the authors admit in the paper they had no time to peer review any of their findings.
Yeah.
So what this is something, it's classic InfoWars data.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you want to have a conversation about Bernie getting screwed, go for it. But
why? Let's let it go.
Right. But I mean, if there's a conversation to be had possibly about the unfairness of the Democratic National Convention, the committees. And
oh,
stuff
do
like
you
that.
Mean like Clinton endorsing Cuomo for governor over?
There are 100 issues.
There are a lot of examples,
but this isn't one of them.
No,
like and that is what always strikes me and brings home like how little Alex really cares about the things he's talking about.
Right.
Like you could bring in something real, but instead you go for the much flashier, the fast food version that isn't actually beef or whatever. You
There's
know what I'm
a
saying?
Reason McDonald's has over 99 billion served.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And why Alex has millions of listeners.
And we have... Anyways.
So,
have you ever trusted anybody named Rudolfo? I don't think I could do it.
I'm not sure I've ever met anyone named
That's
Rudolfo.
That's an untrustworthy name to me.
I know that there's one...
It's too white. It's too white. The name Rudolfo is too white.
It makes me think of, like... A reindeer from the North Pole going on vacation to, like,
Germany?
Cancun and, like, trying to fit in. He's got a mustache, a fake mustache
under
his red nose.
So he's adding some Latin flair to it is what you're thinking.
He's trying to lay low during the summer months, down there having some cerveza.
No, I am Rudolfo. My nose glows green.
The Rojo-nosed reindeer. Is that how you say red?
Probably.
I just know French.
Yeah.
Rouge. Anyway, we get into some more dumb...
Rudolphe.
We get some more dumb bullshit here. Alex, talking about these leaks of Soros' the emails and memos and stuff like that.
Sure. We
get into a lot of that. He's very into that on this episode because it had only happened a couple of days earlier. A lot of especially the Soros emails... and memos were published mere days before this.
Before you continue, and again, apologies for interrupting and screwing up the throat of the clip, but there is something I think is interesting about his non-point that he makes.
Which
wherein,
one? 'Cause there's a
wherein
lot of them.
He says that, the DNC was trying to steal the election from Bernie.
Right.
Right. And then he says that the RNC was trying to steal it from Trump.
Yeah.
But one of them won and one of them lost, which is really interesting to me in a reflection of how politics actually works. Like the Republican, moderate, whatever it is, have zero control anymore. Like it's all lunatics on the right wing side.
Right, right.
Whereas the Democrats have Republicans in control, like Republicans from the 90s in control of actual progressives.
Right.
So of course they have a larger block of like, hey guys, we can't be having these crazy ideas out there of like people's lives getting better.
We need
status quo all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating to me that the Democratic Party is set up in such a way as they will always defeat the crazies. And the Republican Party is set up in such a way as they will never defeat the crazies.
Yep.
That's an interesting thing that he pointed out by accident that he doesn't even really understand.
Yep.
Sorry. I found that to be an interesting thing to say.
It is very
I apologize.
I'm processing it.
I apologize.
No, I'm processing it. It's more indicative of like him explaining why he has a career.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It is kind of indicative of that.
And although, I mean, cause anybody else wouldn't put up with this kind of nonsense.
Right.
And now they're developing a national police force for each of those countries from Sweden to Germany to France. And they admit that they are linking up with Muslim leaders. Online to arrest anyone criticizing Islam in any way. The London mayor has also announced an initiative to arrest you and your family.
Just a blanket.
From the new George Soros.
We're going to arrest you
I
and your family.
I told you this is the battle plan.
So yeah.
We have 100% arrest rate of you and your family.
And I'm scared of what the London mayor is trying to do as I sit here in Chicago. And this isn't what Sadiq Khan wants.
I don't
is nonsense.
Sadiq Khan is, by all accounts, a delightful man who
very
has
progressive, for the
no
most part.
Intention of arresting neither you nor your family nor people even broadly related to you.
No, but this is sort of a foreshadowing of Alex becoming good friends with Tommy Robinson. You know, that sort of thing. Where the idea of hate speech being curtailed in England and the UK is somehow like if you question Islam, you're going to prison. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, we have to fucking pump the brakes. And this is something Alex never does on his show, because he lives in this dumb idealistic bubble that, like a child would, that imagines that every place is the same, yet he is a nationalist. You know that idea?
Because
he seems to think that our constitution applies to every country. And so, like, when there's hate speech laws in the UK that we don't have here.
First Amendment!
He's furious about
that. First Amendment!
Exactly.
First Amendment!
Why won't they let Tommy Robinson have his First Amendment?
Why don't the British even understand the First Amendment?
Yeah, exactly. There's this stupid, stupid thing that's like, you want universal global laws like that, yet at the same time you're mad at the idea of, it's very crazy to me because I don't know enough. Like, I haven't done copious amounts of research into free speech laws in the UK, but from everything I understand, their free speech laws are not super confining, they aren't super repressive, but they do have a lot more allowances for stifling hate speech than we do.
They've also, that's something that's interesting to me, especially recently, because they have just recently curtailed free speech laws in a way that has not been done for a long time, to the point where activists are kind of worried about that.
So
that is such a point counterpoint to that, you know, do we have too lax free speech laws versus is any free speech law going to eventually lead to the suppression of speech that should be,
I don't know,
or shouldn't be suppressed?
I don't know.
You know? It's just fascinating as we see the global alliance of nationalists as though, like, hey, I hate you. Join up with me.
Yeah, let's
get together and get rid of all these people who aren't nationalists so we can become nationalists together.
Let's have a global alliance of nationalists who take out the globalists who are definitely not Jews.
Absolutely not.
Let's definitely rely on archaic Jewish stereotypes and anti-Semitic tropes from history in order to demonize this group that we don't like while becoming a global entity, which is what we seem to be against in this group that we're demonizing with anti-Semitic tropes from history.
Right.
Cool, man.
Right on top of it.
Cool.
Everything makes sense.
Now, I do think that your concern is much more interesting, and I don't know, I don't have an answer for that, man. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't believe, because it's something that comes up in stand-up a lot, this idea that, like, you limit any speech and it limits all speech.
Right.
And I don't really necessarily believe in that. Like, because we have similar versions of that. Like, I know it's a really hacky sort of thing to say, but, like, you can get in trouble for yelling fire in a crowded building.
Yeah.
Like, you can get in trouble for threatening someone with violence. Like, there are already limits on free speech. You can't extort people. Like, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
That's just speech, man.
That is just speech. But you're given the option to be extorted or to not be extorted.
Right, you can't make threats. You can't do that sort of thing. So, like, the idea that any limit on speech is a limit to all speech, I think, is contradicted by the fact that we do have just basic limitations on on what is just an act of speech.
And now, the only argument against it is the slippery slope argument,
right,
which either comes true or doesn't, and it's not an actual argument that you can really make as something, you know, like.
And more importantly, the slippery slope is a logical fallacy.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
If you make an argument based on, like, what will become of this, then all you're doing
is. Or what
is,
could become of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all fucking stupid.
It's all stupid.
So remember earlier when I told you that Alex had a worse plan than the dumb plan you came up with?
Yes.
Listen to this shit. It's crazy.
Wait, I came up with that plan?
No, you were... who cares? Alex has a bad plan, is what I'm trying to get to.
This is really happening.
First of all, I just want to pause right there just to say, anytime I hear Alex say that, it means to me, this ain't happening. This is not happening.
it was really happening, you wouldn't need to say it was really happening.
Right, right. In the same way clearly. That, like, as a kid, I would read Dave Barry, and he'd be like, I'm not making this up, but you're making this
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're obviously making yeah. this up. Stop selling.
But let's just go to the stack of news today on this subject
stacks
alone.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
Mega banks above the law, tax exempt, diplomatic immunity, going in with education programs to create absolute, total, homicidal hatred of anyone with white skin and teaching them to hate capitalism and teaching them that you must go to the United States or Europe or Australia and you must capture it politically as leftists.
Politically.
And that you must then take over government and create a utopia. Now, this is taught in Mexico. This is taught in Nigeria. This is taught in Sudan. This is taught in South Africa. This is taught all over places like Venezuela, Nicaragua, El Salvador. They're all running programs as of this year.
For all of those countries, it's very reasonable to hate white people. Does he not understand why those countries, every country he's named, also has like a historical event where you're like, no, you guys should hate white people forever.
You need to put that aside for a second.
Okay.
You missed the last thing he said there, and this clip isn't done, but the last thing he said there is, these programs have been in place as of last year, which
right.
to me is like, okay, so wait, they're indoctrinating kids in school.
As of last year.
Which means they're in fourth grade.
As of last
grade,
year.
Fifth grade. Yeah. Now,
they get a year or two of indoctrination, that's all you need.
So we get 10-year-olds who now hate anyone, have homicidal hate of people with white skin. All right, finish your thought, Alex.
Give them 30 more years and they're gonna finish the job.
Let's let Alex finish the job on his stupid thought.
Officially organized with the UN to bring in people from all over the world that land on airplanes and come in on ships. They're not allowed to stay there. And then they are bussed all the way to the United States where the Border Patrol waits for them and loads them on buses to ship them into Democratic Party facilities. Who then they give them ID cards, set them up on full welfare, more than a Social Security recipient.
Real quick.
He is going to town with all white fears.
The real reason that he's saying that, and he made a very specific point of saying, like, they're getting more than a Social Security recipient, is because he fucking knows that most of his audience is
old white people.
And they're very scared of this idea that these
I only get $1,300 a month. I'm on a fixed income. What do you mean they get $2,000?
Meanwhile, there are very clear laws about being able to take any welfare programs if you are an immigrant who comes legally or illegally.
No.
If you come illegally, there's no way. You can't.
They've been in place since last year. And as we all know, Democrats had complete control of the Senate, the House, and the White House at the time, right?
Mm.
In 2015?
All of it.
It definitely wasn't an entirely Republican Congress. That'd be crazy.
Right. But, you know, again, this just bears mentioning. Alex doesn't like those Republicans now.
Ah.
Although he did almost jizz on himself talking about how great it would be if Ted Cruz ran for president.
Ugh.
Mere years earlier.
Ugh.
I
bet he votes for Beto.
So, Alex?
Yeah, I bet he does.
It's better for him.
It's way better for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. But we can't speculate about someone's secret voting habits. But... He's
I bet Ted Cruz votes for Ben.
I want to get out.
He's like, he is way better for this country than me.
Or just, I want to get out, but I can't quit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then large portions of that money is skimmed and given back to the organized crime combine.
So what, wait, hold on.
The NFL every year runs an organized crime rookie combine. They have to take the test in order to...
No.
Oh, okay.
So, we have kids being indoctrinated in schools as of a year ago.
Yeah.
And now somehow they're being sent in league with the UN.
In league.
In order to come here, and then they are being sent to democratic centers where they get tons of welfare, but some of it gets skimmed off the top and sent back to the Democrats.
It's already really expensive.
Is that their goal to begin with?
To fly so many people from the world and then bust them, which seems like a lower... if you're getting taken across the border and then bus to like Nebraska,
take a train.
Should get another flight.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Connecting flights. All
they've
over
already
the place.
They've already paid for the international flight. What Southwest isn't flying for like $100? Come on,
it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous because here's why. Because the just the timeline of it makes absolute no sense.
Yes, the timeline is a good place to start.
It makes absolutely no sense.
They're bussing a lot of 11-year-olds in to vote.
I dismiss it out of hand. Like, that part of it, I just say, absolutely not. Yeah. I reject your premise. Good day, sir. That sort of thing. But then when you talk about, like, this idea that it's somehow a fraud for two reasons. One is to get people to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And the other one is to skim money off the top.
Yeah.
Skimming money off the top, there's better scams. This seems like there'd be way too many cooks in the kitchen. Someone would talk, like, it would be so ineffective. This scam is no good. Secondarily, if you want people to vote Democrat, Alex is already claiming that they're just voting in dead people's names and stuff like that. So you don't need this. If
way
the Democrats
cheaper.
Are really doing that, then they're just creating votes out of the ether. They don't need this elaborate, stupid plan. It makes no sense. None of this, even with the motivations that he is pretending these villains have, it makes no sense. All it is to scare old white people.
What
it's
they found out.
Horror.
What they found out.
This is the grave diggers of political radio.
It costs $10,000 to get a dead person to vote. It costs $8,000 to fly in an illegal immigrant. This is just pure mathematics.
Well, that's just because you get to skim that $2,000 off the top.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean,
they think dead people are voting, but it's actually illegal immigrants, Dan.
The problem that Alex really never wrestles with is, like, the second and third stages of the plans that he's, enumerating. Because the other thing...
Apparently neither do the globalists.
Well, the other problem is that, like, if this scam exists... It's gotta exist counter to and with all of the other, like, in 2016, he's still, fairly pizzagating.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you've gotta have that part in there, too. You have to have all of his elaborate scams, being, like, all true at the same time.
Well, they have millions of people working. The globalists have a global network. There are millions.
Right in the name.
Millions of people working for them. For a lot of their scams, you don't need that many people. You need like 30 or 40 people max. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have a job. So they got a lot of scams going in they got a lot of plates spinning, Dan.
A lot of fingers and a lot of pies.
Yeah. Look, when you have that many people, you can come up with these harebrained schemes.
Perhaps. And you know what? Hey, sometimes companies fuck up, you know? Sometimes companies do something like, we sort of fucked the dog on this
right.
one.
Right.
That was bad money. That was bad money leading money, you know, like whatever.
Don't worry, we've got diplomatic immunity because apparently that is something that the megabanks can have.
I love the idea though that like, this international cabal that's existed for hundreds of years.
If not thousands.
That comes down from like the black nobility in Venice and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like the idea that they also come up with like, shit. You know, like the International House of Pancakes now having to be like, hey, we were fucking with you with that burger thing.
Yeah.
They're
you guys should have figured out the whole we're fucking with you with a burger thing. Come on.
You should have done better from the jump.
Yeah.
You know, like you should have, instead of now being like, haha, we tricked you. Like no one was tricked. We all thought this was a stupid publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like it's that same level of like business activity that he's fixing into the minds of the globals. I'm like, they've been around for thousands of years and secretly run everything. They don't make mistakes like IHOP.
Everybody makes mistakes, Dan.
Fair enough.
The globalists have run so many plans over the thousands of years, they gotta come up with new shit, otherwise they get bored.
Yeah, that might be the case.
They can't just keep running the same plan over and over again.
You gotta keep it fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you open up that marriage to crazier schemes.
And that might even be the case with IHOP. I hate to keep coming back to them, but maybe they were just bored. Like, we've been in a holding pattern. Let's embarrass ourselves.
For real.
Yeah.
More pancakes. Guys, we gotta do something crazy.
We get it. You have waffles.
Yeah.
Also great mozzarella sticks. A little too big.
We can't call ourselves the International House of Crepes. Nobody's gonna buy that shit. We hate French people in America.
I used to live near an IHOP and me and,
Crepe eating surrender monkeys is what we call them.
They have plenty of crepes.
They have...
My dear friend Nate Burrows and I used to go to IHOP for lunch every now and again because it was right over by my old apartment.
Not far.
And we would just be hungover as shit.
Yeah.
And it was always just about
That's the only reason you go to IHOP.
It was always about those way too big mozzarella sticks. That's
all
it was about, these giant logs of mozzarella. Anyway, enough about this bullshit.
IHOM.
This next IHOMs. So in this... This next clip, Jordan.
Yes.
Have a situation where Alex, this is a little longer clip, and I actually think it's a mic down clip because what we see is Alex Jones being a flagrant racist and misrepresenting, Tim Kaine, some comments that he had made. Alex makes the mistake of playing Tim Kaine's comments, and it becomes very clear what Tim Kaine means. And Alex just, he looks like a ding-dong on his own show. It's so embarrassing and so disgusting. I love it. I love it. It's so great.
All right. Mic down.
But at the same time, I don't like how he never has to live with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course
like,
not.
This clip I'm about to play for you, any right-thinking person who listened to this would be like, oh, this is a flagrant racist.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who's absolutely trying to turn an innocuous statement and maybe a very nice unifying statement into something that is evil and anti-white, some sort of white genocide sort of thing. And it's absolutely not.
Any inclusive message is inherently anti-white.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Diversity is code for anti-white.
Anti-white.
That's what white supremacists say.
Yeah.
And here is what Alex Jones, who's also a white supremacist, says.
We're going to skip the network break. It's too important. I mean, I'm serious. This is just the end of the country, the end of the world we're talking about here. And the Border Patrol even comes out and says, we've been ordered to complete the smuggling process. That's how mega massive all this is. So let's continue. Hillary's VP, we have the video of this coming up. Hillary's VP, whites must become a minority to atone for racism.
Just real quick, take a second to take that in as the headline that he's reporting. Whites must become a minority in order to make up for racism.
That makes sense.
Now, again, this is the ultimate racism. To experience what other people have gone through, because only whites have oppressed anybody in history, total lie,
no one said
we
that.
Must make whites a minority so they can be persecuted, is what he's saying.
That's
and this is a
saying.
White guy who's going to lead this and organize all the different racial groups who they're going to put your kids in prison and teach them in the prison how, according to different racial groups, how to kill each other. He's going to manage you, but he's selling it to you, the party of the KKK.
It's particularly funny considering racial incarceration rates for Alex to be making this sort of stupid argument. Hold on.
Let's put white people in prison.
As your new time to shine. This is incredible. In fact, let's just play the clip of the man that would be the vice president, probably the president, when Hillary, that brain tumor goes ahead and eats the rest of that melon. Here it is.
For instance, the most segregated hour of the week is 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and that was a challenge to me. And so I've made my spiritual home in a neighborhood where we're not segregated. In fact, we were, when we started there, one of a few white families in that church. It's now a very well-integrated church, but it was important to, especially I think the burden is on those of us who are in a majority, you know, Caucasians here. We got to put ourselves in situations where we're in the minority.
Okay, so there are the world is officially 90%.
You're a nationalist,
Anglo. And then if you look at the numbers, there's about 3% of that are people that are identifying as Anglo that you could argue aren't.
What?
7% of the planet is Anglo. Okay? But you would think it
what?
Is the end of the world.
Wait,
that
what?
White people even exist. So I apologize for Europe and I apologize for the printing press, and I apologize for the science and the medicine and everything else, and I just am here to say this guy's absolutely right. No, this is a sick, evil race pimp.
Great, 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 great.
Wait, wait, wait.
That's
wait,
amazing.
Wait.
That's amazing.
Wait.
Go
wait.
For it.
3%.
3%
identify as Anglo, but aren't. So we've got, not only is Rachel Dolezal a non-outlier. She's just even crazier for doing it the wrong way. Because what she should be doing is identifying as white accidentally or incorrectly. That is 3%? What is 3%? What's the 3%? It's Jews, right? He's talking about Jews.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can't imagine it's not.
Yeah, like, he's talking about Jews.
I feel like my...
Because he's not talking about black people just saying they're white.
My spidey sense tells me, well, I don't know, because what's this? No, that's trends in growth. I'm trying to find demographic information. I should have looked that up earlier, but...
It
feels like that's what he's saying.
It's just 500 million Chinese people saying that they're white. That's all he's talking about. He's just talking about the very well-publicized 500 million Chinese people who say that they're white.
I mean, I want to say, I mean, even without us being able to say exactly what he's talking about, the idea of, like, nah, you're not white is the whitest thing ever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The idea that he has, like, an exclusivity, which is what we talk about all the time, is the notion of whiteness is based on exclusion, not on inclusion. I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had those numbers.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's talking about.
I really want to know what is the, who he's talking about. Who does it, swarthy Italians?
Maybe.
Greeks? Like, what is he talking about?
I don't know, man.
Any white person with a tan?
You know what the issue is? It's, no matter what the answer is, it's bad. No matter what, it's like,
Also, if he's talking about the Irish, you know what? Go fuck yourself, Alex.
Sure.
We've been the whitest for a long time. There's no sun where we come from. We were grown in whiteness.
It's disgusting that that's sort of his take on, like, how am I going to respond after this clip that I maybe should have listened to before I played. Because what Tim Kaine is saying is a really good message.
Yeah.
Which is to say that he's telling a personal anecdote about the idea that he, church is one of the more segregated places in the world. You have denominations and churches that are primarily black, primarily white. There's the twain doesn't usually meet. And his idea of going into places that are not where you are the minority is something that is very helpful for everyone.
Yeah.
The idea that here's what I want to say. I was rambling around a little bit, but if you hear what Tim Kaine said and you are against it, what you are against is integration.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. I never want to be around too many black people.
Or I only want it on my terms. I only want it if they come to me and come to my white barbecue or
Doesn't that sound right?
The idea that Tim Kaine is espousing in that clip is that, like, it behooves you to put yourself in situations where you get to experience other people's cultures, because that is a respectful and empowering and enlightening thing to do.
And you know what else? What else he's also really talking about is so many white people have never had the experience that black people have just about every day.
Boom.
Where they're going into a situation where it's majority white people.
Creates empathy. Creates understanding.
Exactly.
For on that level and on the level of learning about how cultures actually work.
Absolutely.
Like, you learn about something instead of having a caricature of it from dumb right-wing news sites.
Well, and it's in my world, and you know, clearly, how many times have you seen, like, a young white comic go into a primarily black room and be like, I don't know how to act right now. Like, their jokes get thrown off.
I've seen much more examples of, like, because I generally knew decent comics.
Yeah.
Many more times I saw them go in and it be no big deal.
Yeah.
I saw not because people pandered or anything, but because when you go into situations where you are the minority, you realize that it's not as big a deal as you think.
It's not a big deal at
all. You create.
Unless you make it a big deal.
Bingo.
Exactly.
Bingo. You create this image in your head that, like, everyone there is going to think I'm the other or any of that stuff. And then generally people aren't doing that. That's you.
No.
That's you thinking that.
Yeah.
I cherish so much the ability that I had growing up to be in so many different communities because, like I said, I talked about this before, my dad was a religious studies professor. And so he had friends that were in mosques.
From all different faiths and walks of life.
And we would spend time at the synagogue, at the mosques.
Yeah.
And have, break bread with all these families.
Yeah.
And go to their houses for holidays, for the various faiths. And it's such a rewarding thing because sometimes, I'll be honest, I'm a picky eater and I didn't like the food all that much.
All right.
But it wasn't, it wasn't about that. It was about, like,
I think you just dog whistled your white bona fides.
I really don't like much food. I'm a picky eater, but
I'm a big chicken strips guy. That's the whitest thing you can say.
I already said I went to IHOP very frequently. You know, I'm not like, I don't have a lot of food cred outside of spiciness.
But see, I had the complete opposite experience. And that's the thing. When I was growing up, I only was around white people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I moved away that it was like, oh, I am interested in like experiencing other cultures and meeting other people. And I feel like if my family, if so many families just like gave themselves the opportunity to go to places where they're not white, all of a sudden a lot of those conservative viewpoints just disappear.
Well, the untrue parts do, you know, like it's the fears and the othering goes away when you recognize quite legitimately everybody has so much more in common than they have out of common.
Infinitely more in common.
And for Alex to be fighting back against that and arguing that's a race pimp argument is crazy. And I made a point of stopping the clip early to say, like, he's presenting it as, like, the headline is whites need to become the minority. Tim Kaine didn't say that. He's saying putting yourself in situations where you aren't it's not all white people. Yeah. It's very rewarding and it helps everybody.
Yeah.
It helps you. It helps everyone else.
Just imagine.
Because we all come together. We have all much more empathy. We have much more understanding as opposed to staying in our stupid bubbles and listening to, World Net Daily, Breitbart and, Jerome Corsi and all these white supremacist narratives.
Think about every single black child who was on the vanguard of school integration in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You will never experience that.
Nope.
If you're a white person, how could you ever even consider judging somebody who has been through that? Unless you spend a lot of time being in the minority in a lot of situations. You'll never comprehend it. And if you judge them for their experience, you're a fucking idiot.
Totally.
You are.
Yep.
That's all you can be.
That's the part that's much more difficult for me to talk about, but I understand is just as valid and absolutely more real, which is the fact that the other, I only say the other because we're white.
Yeah.
You know, like anyone else who is not in the Caucasian situation has to deal with that
great
all the time. The Caucasian situation. I'm sure there's a neo-Nazi act called that. I'm positive.
I would go the other way. I think there's a black nationalist group called the Caucasian situation.
I bet there's both.
Yeah.
Just one with has a Z and the other doesn't. That's what I'm guessing. But the,
one has
the white has the Z.
One has the SS as a Z. Yeah.
But the, it's more difficult for me to talk about that because it's an experience I don't have and it's impossible for me to really even relate to necessarily except for my limited version of being in situations where I was, and even when I was in fucking elementary school, I was in Hawaii. Like when I, for a couple years in elementary school, we lived in Honolulu. And me and my brother were two of four white kids in the entire school.
Mm.
So like
So when did you move back to America?
I mean, the mainland. We came back in, was 94, I think. Went to Missouri. But like, I came back.
Might as well have lived in Puerto Rico. You're so far from America.
Even that hillbilly would say Puerto Rico. Making it.
You don't know my hillbillies.
I only know the
Missouri. You only know your hillbillies. Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, I had that experience, but it wasn't as sincere. You know what I mean?
It
like,
never
I,
will be.
Yeah.
There's no way for a white person to ever understand what it's like to be black in America.
Nope.
I mean, there's not.
It's case closed.
Yeah.
So, let's move on to this next clip.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point of all that, I believe, is that, Alex is, like, in real time, you can see him just completely lying about Tim Kaine's comments, and it's the only reason to lie about that is to stoke white fear and racial division.
Yeah.
And the idea that he's arguing that he is trying to create racial division is ludicrous and very irresponsible.
Hey, you know what? Whenever I hear somebody call for empathy, my first thought is, you want to kill whites. That's obvious.
Well,
what else could there be to think if you're, what are you asking me to put myself in like somebody else's walk of life? That is trying to kill white people.
You sound,
and you know what? And
you sound like you would not be in the minority at Alex Jones's cookout.
You know what's strange? I kind of think that idea of white identity is kind of built around, as you said earlier, it's built around exclusion, not inclusion.
Totally.
So in a certain sense, you could say he's correct. The idea of empathy directly counters white people, which is why as my campaign statement, soft yes on white genocide.
All right. Let's move forward.
Okay.
In this next clip. Remember how we were talking about Sadiq Khan earlier, about how he's a monster?
No, he's a great guy.
Alex thinks he's a monster.
And he's even a good mayor. Like, well, everybody really likes him as a mayor.
Well, you don't know some of the stuff Alex knows.
Oh, okay.
Soros hack reveals plot behind Europe's refugee crisis. Media manipulation, cash for social justice. Call in the groups.
I feel like that's a good
trade. Keep them poor, keep them under your control, get them on welfare, detonate. Burn cities. And then start banning people's free speech to criticize your own program. Advertise Europe's open. Advertise all the free goodies are there. We're getting to that next. Get ready for it. Boom. London mayor to set up police online hate crime hub. This guy is a Muslim.
I just admits
he wants Sharia law. He says he will not follow the Brexit and will make London an Islamic state, basically. They are banning images of women in bathing suits on city-owned property billboards and buses. Hitting and hitting hard. They're putting Muslim police chiefs in almost everywhere. I mean, it is and the reign of terror is on.
That's astonishingly racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really...
It's breathtaking.
Really racist.
Muslims can't be cops?
Yeah.
No. And if they are cops, they can't be like a general of the cops.
No, they're terrorists.
They can't be in charge. They can only be on the bottom. They have to report to a white guy.
If Muslims are police chiefs, that's a reign of terror because we just put terrorists in charge of the police.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that. We need white terrorists in charge of the police, Dan.
This is fundamentally like without any deconstruction, that is some flagrantly racist shit.
That is really racist.
And we can...
That is old guy at a park racist.
Let's split this a tiny bit just because the rebuttal is always that Muslim isn't a race, so it can't be racist.
Bye, 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 bye. You mean brown. Fuck
exactly.
Off. Fuck off.
Yep.
Fuck off.
I only brought that up so you could make that rebuttal, which I agree with. This is crazy. I mean, this is patent nonsense.
Yeah.
It's all just in response to the idea of like trying to do a better job about like systematic, racial and religiously based hatred that exists online.
I mean, if you want to pretend to entertain his argument, replace Muslim with black and you clearly see how racist it is.
No, you also,
they have,
you
all,
also
all
heard
these,
that before.
All of these black people are becoming police chiefs. It's clearly a reign of terror. Like, what are you fucking talking about, you old fucking racist piece of shit?
We've experienced that in the past, too.
Yeah. But, well, actually, we've experienced it pretty much word for word in the past.
Yeah. It's all the same shit.
I mean, you let black people become president, and then they're everywhere.
Man, I told you this. I texted you this, and, like, this is something that's so, like... It's nuts. Like, I had, a passing understanding and, like, I knew a bit about, you know, the white nationalist uprisings that happened, in the 90s, and some of that shit in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I didn't know nearly as, like, I'd never watched videos of their leaders talk, you know?
Yeah.
And I watched this documentary the other day about Oklahoma City and about the roots of it, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously
yeah.
The roots were in Ruby Ridge and Waco.
Should have never given you that Netflix password.
Well, but I'd seen similar things in the past, but what really, like, I could have watched this documentary in the past and not gotten as much from it as I did. And what I got from it is watching the, like, white separatist leaders from the early days talk. They use the same language that Alex does now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a parallel. It's bizarre to watch. Like, if you go back and watch these guys who had, like, that compound in northern Idaho.
Yeah.
Like, you go and listen to those white supremacists give their sermons. There's so much talk about sovereignty.
Yeah.
There's so much talk about the ethnic identities. There's so much talk about this replacement fear.
Right.
It's all in there. It's everything is the same. And that makes me think that we have been doing nothing for 2 years because it's like, yeah, you could just look at that and be like, yeah, that's what
Alex
is doing.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Who was it? I think
it bums me out a little bit because it's very obvious.
I read somebody recently who put forth a solid statistical argument for white supremacy showing up in full strength every 30 years.
Yeah.
Like it may just be correlation, but his main point was like, all right, so we got a shit ton of white supremacy now.
Right.
What was 30 years before this? The neo-Nazi movement.
Yeah.
What was 30 years before that?
Regular
that
Nazi
was the,
movement.
The Nazi movement. What was 30 years before that? That was pre, depression crash when everybody was totally against Jews and
right,
blacks
right.
and everything.
For 30 years before that is probably when the protocols
that was
were
the,
coming around.
That was the 1890s and 30 years, but like, it seems, and 30 years before that was the Civil War. Mm. Like, it's a weird. It's a weird coincidence that it's like somebody arguing that the full moon changes things where
right.
You're like, no, it fucking
doesn't. It's a blood moon.
It's just you can see it and you associate it with it, but
it might just be that we never learn from our mistakes and history
ever.
Has a way of going underground and then coming back up.
What was it? History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. That was the classic quote.
It's a remix.
Yeah.
So the one thing,
just like R. Kelly, and is never mind.
The one thing that is not a remix and that is always consistent through history,
the original version of Ignition.
Alex Jones makes bad predictions. And here's one of his predictions.
Okay.
From August.
I'm always excited for a prediction.
Of 2016.
We talked to our contact. We talked to our pipeline to the Secret Service, and they added some very important information dealing with Hillary staging a false flag against herself, an assassination attempt that lines up with our other information that comes from another source, from another agency.
Sounds all fake to me, baby. Hillary's going to false flag herself. Cool.
That seems like a dangerous plan.
Oh, big time. And dumb. Very dumb. Very, very dumb. And now we know that didn't happen and none of this happened.
Although the accidental headline of like, can a woman with permanent brain damage become president? I don't think so.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, you heard that earlier when he was talking about that tumor eats the rest of her melon.
Yeah.
He's deep in the, like, she's about to die.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I didn't.
Haven't you seen those pictures where she has bags under her eyes? That's clearly death.
I didn't leave in, most of the times he's talking about that, but like, I would say a good third of this show is just him being like,
she's going to die anyway.
She's in a wheelchair secretly. Like that sort of thing. Like, oh boy. Okay. So, we know that from that clip. That Alex's prediction is bad, but he has sources.
Yes.
Multiple sources.
One who has the information, one who has confirmed the information.
Interesting.
Got two sources.
Now, there's two sources that he cites in this next clip.
Well, now, admittedly, Zach is not on the run yet.
No, nor is he even in the fold.
Yeah, but he could be in play.
But, all that aside, those aren't credible sources. Because they're probably made up. These sources are real. See if you can figure out what sources he's deriving some of his information from.
We are under attack. This is the 21st century war. It's economic. It's replacing humans. It's destroying the family. It's turning us all against each other. This is a scientific attack. And they tell you what they're doing in the movie The Kingsman. They dumb it down that a wavelength's being sent out over the cell phones to cause our primitive brains to kick on and make us kill each other.
That's one of the sources.
That is a dumbed down allegory of what's actually going on.
That's
and
it's
not a billionaire working with other billionaires to wipe out the population of the earth 99% to bring in a utopia. Now, you may have heard of that theme before. Moonraker.
Second
written
source.
Written in the 50s by Ian Fleming.
Moonraker?
High-level OSS and then MI6. Telling you what
the worst
globalists
James
are talking
Bond
about.
Movie.
The allegory of going up into space while you bioweapon the whole Earth.
You could put, you only live twice up there.
The biological pathogen runs its course.
Like in 12 Monkeys.
Phases out. Is designed to mutate until it's no longer harmful.
Like
you
in the
return
stand.
To Earth and repopulate it with your eugenics dream. They're telling you the plan.
Like an Andromeda strain.
You know what?
How many more movies would you like this exact same theme to be in?
Or that even take that out of it and just choose another science fiction movie. Like, you could play this game with any movie. Like, it's
like Inner Space.
Sure.
That's how we developed our new surgery techniques.
You know what? Osmosis Jones was a documentary. cares? Like, just fucking stop it. You know, like, this sort of
thing.
We
never went to the moon, but Journey to the Center of the Earth was true.
Absolutely. The remake, not the original. I mean, this is just the sort of stuff that's embarrassing. That's just like, I mean, I don't know, like, if you had a point, you wouldn't constantly reference movies. You know what I'm saying?
Which he doesn't like, because Hollywood is liberal propaganda machine.
It's part of the globalists.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But they have to reveal the plan. That's why he watches every movie.
That's why he watches every movie.
It's so stupid. So stupid. But anyway, so at this point,
So, you've done a lot of great work.
Thank you.
Cataloging all of Alex Jones's beliefs.
Not all of them.
Have you considered also cataloging all of his movie references and kind of developing a unified field theory of what Alex Jones prefers in a movie? Cause I feel like he's a huge science fiction buff.
Oh yeah, but that's just the dreams of men.
Right, but I mean, like, he's a surprisingly science fiction buff.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
He says something a little bit later that's like, oh, I get everything.
And not just that, no, he's like a fan of, David Lynch. Like, he's all over the place, man.
No, I think he was a fan of David Lynch because David Lynch agreed to come on his show. I don't think
that's true.
I don't think he's actually a Lynchian guy.
Right. Well, he didn't get the, he didn't get the OJ, in Lost Highway.
Mm.
Was it Lost Highway?
I don't think anyone got Lost Highway.
No, it was, fuck it, whatever.
You're talking about,
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever he got it way wrong.
Who cares? Okay. Here's the point.
All right.
We've been talking for about an hour now about, like, some of these petty narratives that he brings up. And the reason that you can't ignore them are the things like Tim Kaine, that clip, stuff like that, that are just outright, this is so fucking racist.
Yeah.
The stuff about Sadiq Khan, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So when I'm listening to that, like, I can't ignore that. But when I got to this next clip was when I was like, oh no, I was right to go back to this episode.
Okay.
Because it starts with Alex rambling about George Soros, and then something happens.
There's no future under this new world order, and I don't care whether it's MI6 or the CIA or the FBI
or Jason
who it
Bourne.
Is, the Russians. Everybody is coming together and realizing this new world order has got to be stopped. I mean, we're going to let some 87-year-old crazy Nazi collaborator freakazoid
become president
and bring us into world financial ruin because he wants to lord over a bunch of poor people because he's an asshole. Excuse me using that term. I apologize. Because it's not strong enough for him. He is a demonic demon who wants to run the world. And of course he can't do that because of business. He can't do it because of free market. He can't dominate. So he has to blow it all up to say he rules it. I've got to read this. Hold on 1 second. Okay.
Prep.
Remember that thing I said earlier about that particular article? Like I said, post it under our byline. Entire thing, please. Thank you.
So he got a text in the middle of this show from somebody. We all know who that is.
Yeah. Guccifer 2.0.
Roger Stone.
Okay.
He got a text from Roger, and I'm certain it's from Roger because he goes on to say this.
Now, let's go ahead and get to this article that Roger Stone wrote for the Hill newspaper. He also sent it to us to post it at InfoWars.com.
Wait, Roger
Stone? Can the 2016 election be rigged? You bet.
So, Roger Stone.
Wait.
You might need a while to decompress on this.
Hold on.
Yep.
If you are telling me this correctly, this is the day after.
Yep.
This is the day after.
August 16th, 2016. The day after he had absolutely been in contact with Guccifer 2.0. He writes an article.
He literally said the election can be rigged?
Yep.
Oh, God. He's fucked. He's so fucked.
He's establishing a narrative using InfoWars as the conduit for it to put it out. I guess they had a byline on the Hill too. I'm not entirely sure. I was only able to find the article on InfoWars.
Okay.
But I could find the article, and it's just about how Hillary is going to rig the election.
Right.
And the evidence that he cites primarily comes from that Stanford article That is not a study.
Right.
Stanford paper, unpeer-reviewed paper. He uses that as an extrapolation point and then talks about how a bunch of voting machines can be hacked, which is a very valid concern.
It's
but
true.
But he uses that to,
and they were.
But he uses that to create a primary narrative that Trump is going to lose by hacking or something like that.
Right.
Which is sort of the backdoor way of, like.
I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. Creating that foundation.
Yep.
Because it's important to do that when you're doing that.
Yeah. That's really smart, though.
Very.
Like, it's fun. It, like, every time they said when they go low, we go high, you look back at that and you're like, oh, going low is so much more successful.
But also, the
cheating wins.
The other problem, too, is that, like, the reality of the conversation the Democrats probably should have been having, had all the information been out on the table and known, is that they go low, they're going lower than you think.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue.
Yeah.
It's like Trump insulting, that Gold Star family.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking low.
That's low.
That's pretty fucking low. But behind the scenes.
That was actually disguising how much lower they were going. At the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the matador flipping a red cape.
Yeah.
To get you to charge that direction instead of hitting you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, there's no way to slice this. This is very clear to me what's going on. Like, this is Roger Stone creating, this essentially straw man. He's doing this because he's in contact with Russian intelligence agents. I don't believe for a goddamn second that the emails and the private messages that have been released are the only messages.
Of course not.
That's not even a possibility in my mind. There's no chance of that. And the fact that he's not named in that indictment is damning to him.
Oh, no, he's fucked.
Because if he was named in that, it would be different. They're saving some of that because they have more information.
Yeah, no, of course. If they had named him in the indictment, then you would know he was not part of the thing. The fact that they kept it out of the indictment suggests that they are going to indict him
there's tons more information that's yet to be connected, which I would argue is probably further communiques, further information that the Mueller probe has that we don't have.
Yeah.
To me, when I see that, I'm like, Roger's fucked. And I want to look at, and I still think he's cut a deal, quite frankly. But when I saw that and I was like, let's look back at this next day in 2016. And I saw that Alex's main archive YouTube channel doesn't have this episode up. And then I listened to it and Alex gets a text while he's on air to publish this article about how Hillary is going to steal the is election fraud possible? You bet. Like, that sort of thing. That to me is fucking clearly indicative of something.
God damn it. The balls on this guy to have a conversation about rigging the election and then the next day write an article about how they're rigging the election. Like, his article should have just been like, can you rig an election? You're goddamn right. That's what I've been doing my whole years, man.
Now, it gets so much worse. Put your mic down.
Okay.
And there's going to be more hacks. A little bird told me there were other hacks that have certain parties directing the fraud and preparing in the general election and organizing the illegals to vote and the dead people to vote. Oh, I'm afraid all the emails will be released before you have the election. And no amount of false flags, Soros, are going to put that genie back in the little bottle. You can run on for a long time, creepy man.
So, Alex, you just admitted that you have advanced notice of things that are to come and the content of those things.
You know what that proves, though? Alex thinks Hillary's going to win.
Yep.
Like, that is the only way that you become the weakest of links, because this episode is like you could just throw this in court and everybody's like, oh, yeah, he got the text that
from
said,
Roger.
This whole thing happened.
Yeah.
This is, and then he said, on air.
Yeah.
The shit that was going down, and the only way it would not be investigated is if Hillary won.
Oh yeah, I mean this should be played in court. Like
yeah.
Absolutely. This episode is so clear, like the brazenness and the ha 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 aspect of him being like, "Oh, a little birdie." It's fucking Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Everyone
knows. Everybody knows it.
That there's going to be more leaks, and it's months before the Podesta emails come out.
Yeah.
Like before Roger's like, "Your time in the barrel is coming."
Yeah.
Like all of this stuff is still to come. Roger absolutely has advanced knowledge of the things that are about to
of
be
course.
Released. And Alex is reporting this stuff from DC Leaks, which is another outlet from the GRU.
Yeah.
As we now know. Like, this is very clear. Like, I don't know any other way to slice it. I think Alex actually doesn't know. Like, I think he's stupid.
Yeah.
I think that he doesn't he's a useful
Again,
idiot.
This is why we talk about Alex, is because he is the weakest link.
If he
has information to throw away.
Here's my first piece of evidence about that. No one who knew the details of this stuff would come on air and laugh about how I've been told there's more stuff coming and I know what's in it.
Yeah.
And then earlier on the show be like, I don't care if it's the Russians or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like what he said earlier.
Yeah.
There's no way you would do that sort of thing unless you were like, I think at this point, quite frankly, Alex might be. This sort of behavior indicates that he's on the outermost level of the circle.
Yeah.
That Roger is using him as a way to disseminate information.
Yeah.
And is going to be sold out.
Yeah. There's no way that Roger only texted Alex.
No.
There are
well, we also
so
saw,
many.
I mean, obviously one of the other people in that indictment was Lee Stranahan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, boy.
No.
He's mixed up in this pretty hard too.
No.
And got sued along with Alex and is deeply involved.
And
with
you
Alex.
Have to imagine that a lot of conservative media was given this information as well, and they would not talk about it because they were like, this is a bad idea for us to talk about.
Some of them had the restraint to be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's fascinating because that's why it wound up in The Hill. Is because The Hill was like, well, clearly this isn't true. It's coming from Roger Stone. And the people that Roger texted at Breitbart or Fox News or whatever are like, oh, shit, Roger, you're committing all the crimes. We can't talk about this. Otherwise, you've got a paper trail.
Yep.
And Alex is like, fuck yeah, throw it on the air, baby.
And I will.
No one's going to believe this shit. I'm Alex Jones.
And I'll reveal that I know more. And when I heard that last clip where he's just like laughing about knowing what's coming and that there's this, like it's the same thing with that time he talked about talking to Russian intelligence when he thought it was RT.
Yeah.
Same thing that a lot of people would hear that and be like, well, he's just lying about this. And I get that. I understand. He's a liar.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. Which is what makes him so useful in disseminating that.
But the plausible deniability of that is what's useful.
Yes.
But I can tell at this point, like, I can tell sincerity from lying in him, I believe.
Yeah.
From listening to my Malcolm Gladwell level of Alex Jones.
An insane amount.
I have a pretty keen sense of, like, when he's trying to cover something up and when he's being sincere. And to me, I hear this and I got like my heart was fluttering.
Yeah.
I was like, why did you say that?
Yeah.
And why is this episode not on your channel anymore?
Well,
is it because you said that? That's a really big deal now. The idea of when did Roger know X, Y, or Z? That's a huge deal in terms of the indictments and in terms of his testimony that he gave to the House Judicial Committee. Like that's a really fucking serious issue.
God damn it. Are we gonna become material witnesses?
No, because like, no one cares.
Do we email fucking Mueller? Do we have a Mueller email address?
I have faith.
Robert Mueller@FBI.gov.
I have a certain amount of faith that if we know this, then they do too.
I kinda don't. I don't think there's any way that a serious investigator would be like, well, obviously we have to listen to 1 million hours of InfoWars.
Maybe not 1 million, but go to the dates that are important.
Eh?
But I would also argue that if we jumped to this date at a different point in time, we absolutely wouldn't have
would
the context
necessary.
Would have
missed it entirely. Yeah.
We would have just been like, Alex, you're just being fucking weird with
yeah.
that laugh.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I would say that even more things he says later in this episode make it look even worse for him.
Really?
Yeah. Check out this next clip.
Soros needs to be arrested right now. If he goes to Russia, he will be.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know if that's an endorsement or an indictment.
I mean, it's indicative of where Alex's head is at.
Generally speaking, if you go to Russia and are arrested, I'm probably on your side.
You might be a journalist. You might be someone who opposes yeah. Putin.
Well, hold on.
In the opposition party.
If you get arrested, you're not a journalist. If you get killed, you're a journalist.
Well, not all
if
journalists.
If you get arrested, you're just a political prisoner.
Hashtag not all journalists. You get killed.
Oh, boy.
Just most.
Minus one.
Look, dude, yeah, I mean, like, who cares? That's just like, I mean, even when we were looking at 2015, he kept being like, Putin is the answer.
Yeah,
and like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So hearing like pro-Russia shit is not like in any way,
But that's not pro-Russia shit so much as that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is.
No, I mean, so much as it is pro-autocrat shit.
No, it's pro-Russia in as much as he's saying that George Soros should be arrested by our government.
Yeah.
Russia's government would do it, ergo they're better.
Right. No, I get that.
We should be like Russia.
Yeah.
It is pro-autocrat, but it's also specifically pro-Russia.
But it could also be, shit. Is it Hungary?
Yeah, in Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could be that one fuck guy. No, not, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Erdogan wants him out.
Yeah, Turkey for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of horrible states.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a huge
where open
fan
societies
of
societies have been kicked out of yeah. and they are persona yeah. non grata. Generally speaking, they're the places where you have nationalist uprisings.
Crazy.
End quote.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he would be technically speaking or perhaps by word of mouth against the cultural revolution that Mao put forth. And yet at the same time, for what could be described as the exact same fucking thing
bah.
That Erdogan did.
Bah. Not important, sir.
Good call.
I don't know. It is important, but there's more important things here.
Yeah.
And that is, Jordan, this clip blew my fucking mind. And I know that we just played a clip where, like, it could literally be evidence in a federal trial.
Yeah.
If someone gets their hands on that, because yeah. I think the timeline is very, very, very sketchy. But I think that this next clip is even more mind-blowing in some ways.
Langley has been a donor to our podcast for a long time.
You're talking about my old college friend Travis Langley. went out, did some firefighting after college. He's a good man. As far as I know, I haven't spoken to him like in 8 or 9 years. But anyway, Travis, shout out. How's it going? This next clip, dude, is so fucked up.
The next episode we do is like, apologies for shouting him out. He was, convicted of sexual assault 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
I'm sure not. Yeah.
He was one of those fun guys, I don't know how much I want to get into. He was one of those guys that could drink as much as me in college.
Uh-huh.
And then we, because of that, ended up, sort of
together a lot because
yeah.
everybody else had.
And then he would throw chairs at me and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a good time.
What is?
It was a good time.
That sounds like somebody is going to be convicted 2 years ago of, never mind.
No, don't say such things about my dear friend Langley.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, on this next clip, like I said, is profoundly fucked up. I don't believe half of it, but
the part that you do believe is troubling.
No, I want it all to be true just because of the fun world that it creates in my head.
Okay.
I mean, reportedly, Hillary talks like a sailor, just walks around with her sleeves rolled up. Punching Bill Clinton in the face before she was so ill. I mean, she's
what?
A piece of work. And just, well, you know, stealing not just the cutlery and plates, but furniture. I mean, they're just, they are total criminals. They are trash. They are filth. Obama doesn't steal stuff out of the White House, and he's polite to people. The Clintons, I think the Clintons are worse than Obama. In fact, I'm sure of it. I mean, Obama's
yes.
got some evil energy about him, and he's got he wants to bring the U.S. down a few pegs, and he is an Islamicist.
What?
Of course. That's just,
and
he said that like it's taken
Islamic.
For granted.
He's a horrible person. He's horrible. But it really shows you something that Hillary, behind the scenes, isn't ever nice. It's one thing, you know, high pressure. This is media. I get mad. People have arguments. That goes on. But then I'm sorry for it later. Or folks that are rude to me are sorry. I mean, she doesn't give people tips. You can't look her in the eyes. She loves to get people fired. She loves to fire people. She loves to rub stuff in. She loves to gloat over pettiness. Hillary Clinton does not give tips. I mean, I get a good feeling out of being middle class and having some extra money. And when somebody does good service, giving them a 20-25% tip.
Sir.
Bad service? I'm not somebody that complain, but if somebody's bad enough, I don't want to give them a tip, I call them over and say, you're rude and you need to get ahead in life and not act so, you know, have such an attitude problem. Well, and then I'll say, I mean, my family hates when I do this, but I'm all about getting past comfort zones. And I'll say real nice, and I'll say something wrong. Yeah, I'm really having a bad day. Okay, well, you still have a 15% tip then, but try having a better attitude. You really, gave us attitude and everything, and it makes me not want to come to this restaurant anymore. See, I mean, I'm all about really getting past comfort zones with people.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I read that postmortem book on Hillary's campaign. I can't remember the fucking name.
It's called Doesn't Tip.
and even that book, which is insanely critical of her campaign and the way that it was run, even that book never says she didn't even tip 15%. Like, you would have known. You went to dinner with people.
But like all that, I don't give a shit. Like, oh, that's just sort of Alex rambling and trying to fill time. But I love the image of Alex Jones trying to give therapy to a waiter. Hey, what's going on with you, buddy?
You know what? Do you know what? I can't imagine that for a fucking second. I genuinely believe, and this hurt me, because I genuinely believe waitstaff should be a protected class. Like, if you're an asshole to your waitstaff, that is borderline a hate crime.
Well, it's definitely abuse.
Like,
it's targeted abuse.
What are you fucking doing? Oh, I'm only going to give you 15%, but I'm going to give it talking to. I guarantee 95% of any waitstaff I've ever met would be like, I would prefer you give me $0, but no speech. Then 15% and a talking to.
Well, but this is the perfect example of the, like, when we talk about being able to suss out lie from truth in Alex, like, the truth is, I know about something that's, I've been told, I have advanced knowledge of this stuff.
Yeah.
The lie is, I'm going to really, really play up how empathic I am. I care about people. Like, that is a lie, because he fleshed it out into an elaborate scenario where everyone hates when I do this, but I always just tell people, what, are you having a bad day? I'm still going to tip you anyway, but you need to really know that that makes me not want to come in here.
Like, if Alex gives details, he's lying.
Yeah, exactly.
His truths are, well, I did this and then, no big deal. His lies are like, and then I was born from the son of Kal-El and I went to this restaurant and there were 8 old ladies, but 2 of them were wearing hats. Like, what are you fucking talking
about? It's not a perfect one-to-one example, but it's on the same episode. So it bears like pointing out, like, that's a lie. What he said earlier, is him representing truth.
Yeah.
Now we get back to the hack stuff, and Alex says some really fucking unfortunate things that I believe make this episode, this August 16th episode, like, next level weird. Listen to this.
Funny. Oh, we got some big story for you. Notice mainstream media attacks me all the time on stuff. Silence about our leak. Come out and say I'm a liar. Hey, why didn't the Secret Service drop by?
He called it our leak.
Yeah.
That's a Freudian slip.
No, that's a normal thing.
No,
it's our leak.
No, it's not.
No, it's our leak. It's like a general leak. It's the American people's leak.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
It's the missing leak.
No.
It's Bigfoot.
No. No. That means that he thinks he's a part of a team.
Let me ask you a question.
That means that he thinks that this is something that we are doing.
Now.
And that's something that someone named Roger Stone has lied to him and told him that's what we're doing, with the help of course, Steve Pachenik.
If I remember correctly, on August 16th.
And probably Larry Nichols, but he's way more on the side.
Well, if he, on August 16th, I wasn't ready.
He's still
to,
around.
So on August 16th, the information though had not actually been leaked, correct?
Most of it had.
Most of it had.
Yeah, a couple of days earlier, but a lot.
Okay, like so the, a couple yeah. of days earlier.
Yes. Well, the Soros emails had been leaked. The Podesta emails had not. Yeah. That was the big dump that came in October. Yeah. So there is a beginning of it, but not an end. We're in the middle of it at this point. And the only reason that this date is relevant to choose is that it's literally the next time Alex was on air after we know that Roger Stone was in touch with Goose
yeah.
2.0.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the only reason that we choose this date. I bet if we go to the 17th, he says some more incriminating shit, but maybe not as incriminating.
Our leak is our leak. Really, really, that's a super incriminating statement.
Well, it means to me, here's what it means to me. And I take this from also this next clip. Listen to this next clip and then I'll explain what I mean, by what I think about him saying our leak.
Joe Biggs is going to be popping in later in the interview with more info he got.
Oh, do you mean the worst?
This conduit. I'll just leave it at that.
Pizzagate Joe Biggs has not been fired yet. He's still around.
Yeah.
And he has information that's come from his conduit. We'll leave it at that.
And then I'm going to talk to him about how he thinks this whole plan is going. How's it going for Soros when we know that intelligence agencies, private corporations, and other groups are now
Eric Prince.
Hacking the Democratic Party, the entire Democratic Party, the entire Soros operation, the Clintons. It's all going
to
get data dumped. And
I've
been contacted
to
now
Hague,
to confirm. Earlier stuff was the Russians. The carbon taxes being exposed, the hive of the decline, climate gate stuff, that is the Russians. And the Russians are actively penetrating stuff.
What?
But this is not the Russians. That this is U.S. intelligence agencies leaking right now, risking their lives. Because they know something we don't know about Hillary that's so bad, it's finally turned basically the whole government against them.
So here's what's going on. Alex has high-end dudes like Eric Prince in Blackwater. You have people like Steve Pachenik and Roger Stone that are lying to him and confirming details, amongst themselves, they're trying to tell him that, like, Yeah, the Russians hacked a bunch of stuff before, and they're still trying stuff, but this isn't them.
This specific one.
That we desperately need you to think isn't them.
Is actually
the Patriots.
U.S. intelligence.
The Patriots within
risking
the intelligence
their lives.
Services. Because Hillary has gone too far. And this is why
Even though, which we now know, they have spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon years actually disproving that Hillary has committed any crime in the specific way that Alex is describing.
Yeah, yeah. She's committed crimes, but not these ones.
Yeah.
It's just fucking, it's insane to me, like, how, like, again, I hate to keep saying a right-thinking person, because that becomes so much like a, what do you think that is? Well, I think someone who's not infected with brain worms.
Let's go with reasonable-thinking person.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've been trying to train myself to not say reasonable so much, because it used to be like a trigger for me.
It used to be the centrist thing. Yeah. I gotcha.
But like, no, it just used to be almost my Tourette's saying something is reasonable.
Ah.
But like, this to me is like...
Actionable?
No. Okay. If you look at this, the only assessment you can really come away from it, and I would welcome anybody to go listen to this whole 3-hour episode. You're not going to get more context to any of this other than you can listen to Alex interview Doug Hagman for a bit.
I would not recommend anybody listen to this entire 3-hour
episode.
It's
not super relevant. It's just going to be repetition of a bunch of the same shit we talk about a bunch. But like, if you listen to this, what I don't think you can come away from is Alex is gloating like crazy about what he knows is coming. He has this information, all this stuff. And then he says things like this, which indicate to me that he has had people like we say, Roger Stone, Steve Pachenik,
right.
Maybe Eric Prince, if the two of them are in contact. Alex has since come out and said that Eric Prince was a big source of information for him.
God damn it.
But you have these people who are telling him.
That fucking guy.
You have these people who are telling him, like, no, this wasn't the Russians.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you have this indictment that's come out just in the present. That is a lot of very specific information about the specific computers, the specific emails that these GRU agents were using.
Which is that matches that, up perfectly that with what that, he describes
that,
the, yeah.
That provided the information that Alex is saying, this time it wasn't the Russians.
Yeah.
Which is what Roger, Steve Pachenik, and those dudes are telling him behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So what you have here, I think, is Alex acting as a patsy.
Yeah,
I think that since all of this and since the heat has gotten really hot, the reason that Alex is so boring is, like, there's two things. I think that he realized at some point that, like, this is the game that's being played and I can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
And so he still supports Trump because of the white nationalist movements that are still being emboldened, and he's pushing through the legislation that he would like to be there and things like that.
Yeah.
But he also recognizes that he did things like this on air.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah.
That are evidence. And that's why his show is boring in 2018. He knows people are listening. Like, he didn't know that people were listening back then.
Yeah.
I don't mean it like he didn't think anyone was listening. He just thought, like, hey, this doesn't matter. It's all good. I mean, and you know what? It's not all good. It's not all good.
That puts a nail in the coffin of ever convincing, or not just ever convincing, ever, like, making Alex confront the fact that he has been lied to and taken advantage of.
Well, it takes away so much of his masculinity and power.
Because if he took that episode down, which we can't confirm or if he was specifically not cool with this episode being out, that suggests foreknowledge. That is intent. Like, if you're going to create
like
motive,
a couple days later, you realize, like, oh shit, what did I say?
But that's,
get rid of it.
But that's what I'm saying. That suggests that he found out that he was fucking fucked on this one by them.
Or later in the day, Roger called him and, like, I was like, you gotta take that down.
That's also possible.
You just drifted outside
because,
of what's legal.
Because it's dangerous and you're gonna hurt my sources or whatever.
Or could have even been 6 months later. I mean, who knows? Like, I have no idea. I have no idea whether this never went up or it was taken down.
Right.
I only know that it's an anomaly in terms of the episodes that I try and find from these years. Years! That this guy has posted everything.
Which is smoke, but not fire, but God damn it if it looks like it's smoke from a fire. My point just being, like, there's always been a romantic idea of, like, if we could just get to him and just, like, look at this. Whether or not we agree on policies or anything like that, all we can genuinely prove to you is that the people you've surrounded with are trying to fuck you over.
But I think he knows
that now.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
so
he knows that
means that gets rid of any possibility ever of redemption.
Oh, there never was one.
You know?
There never was.
But I'm saying, like, there aren't many times where you can point to a concrete example of him being actually aware that he was fucked by the people that he supposedly trusts. You know what I'm saying? Like, so many times we've pointed out that he was fucked by the people he trusts, but this is a confirmation. Like, the fact that this episode
Robert
isn't
Steele, up. When he came on and talked about Mars bases, and then Alex was like, this guy is probably deep state. He was trying to get on my show and say some dumb shit. When he's been on the show multiple times before that. It's not like it's an anomaly for him to be on or say something weird. It's just the media picked up on the Mars base thing that he said, because he's also a Project Camelot guest. And so, like,
delightful.
But you know, like, you have that, where that's someone who he trusted and realized I can't trust him and then had to disavow them.
Yeah. But Robert David Steele, he doesn't really trust anybody about a Mars base.
He wasn't as deeply, he trusted him about other things though.
Right.
But Robert
David Steele
wasn't as deeply entrenched as someone like Roger Stone is now.
Exactly.
He's such a, like, he's become woven into the DNA of InfoWars over the last 2 years or so, like, to the point where if he goes down, Alex goes down.
Inextricable.
But it's not actually that. That's not true. There's a way that Alex can dodge, like, if Roger Stone goes to prison, I think Alex can dodge it. I think it's possible. But again, I've talked about this. I've talked about this for a fucking year. Like, even if these guys go to prison, like, right here, this episode is the closest I have ever come to being like, Alex is going to prison.
Yeah.
Like, because this is
damning.
This is an indication that he had advanced knowledge that he didn't admit to.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't perjured himself. Like, he hasn't gone in for interviews
or anything like that.
So he's still, like, on the right side of the law if he comes clean, which he can do, but it involves selling out Roger.
Okay. New plan. No longer are we going to romanticize the idea of ever convincing him that he's fucked over. Here's what we do.
We email his lawyer. All
right. Right.
And his lawyer is like,
by the way.
Yeah. Right. We email them. All right. And we send that email. We have these clips. They hear it. All we do is get an email back that is just them salivating at the billable hours.
Yeah.
Like that's all that's going on right here. If this information is part of Mueller's probe, this is so many billable hours. Like the lawyers, if they heard this they would go apeshit. They'd be like, we're going to be rich.
I really think that this sort of thing, these indications are the sort of thing that like you could get Alex to flip. Because he has a business to protect. He has tons of kids. He doesn't want to go to prison. Like, I know that he believes in what he believes in and all that, but
he's worried he'll be attacked by black people in prison.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And then have his kids taught prison mentality.
That would be terrifying.
Through him when they visit him in prison.
It's a program that's been in place for at least a year.
Alex goes to prison, then pretends that he couldn't have done these radio shows because he was off Earth at the time. And becomes the new Mark Richards for us, when we go visit him.
The
cycle continues like the last season of The Wire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every 30 years, a new Alex Jones gets interviewed by Knowledge Fight. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to put any buttons on this, and we have more clips, but like, it's nonsense to me. Like, I hear this and I'm like, the only way out is bad for him.
Yeah.
But I still don't think, like, I think at the end of the day, he's a white supremacist fuck, and I hate him.
Yeah.
Hate him so much. Yeah. His rhetoric is cancerous, and it's the worst. And all these people who are talking about, like, should he be allowed on Facebook? Like, I don't think that's a valid conversation to have.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I think that Facebook should choose, and if they don't choose, you get off Facebook. You know? I don't know. It's not clear to me. I hate him. I hate him. But I don't think that, like, even all this, like, even this damning, this is damning stuff, I still think he's stupid. Like,
yeah.
I think that he's smart about a lot of the cultural issues he's cancerous about. But
I would say he's not smart, he's canny.
No, I
like,
think,
he's got a,
I think
he's
knows
got
what
a,
he's doing.
An instinct.
No, I think he knows what he's doing on a social front and the racial stuff, like when he was yelling about Tim Kaine.
Yeah.
Like, I think
he knows
what he's doing and he's in charge of stuff there.
Of being racist.
But I think with this secret information and all this, counter coup narrative and all this, I think he's the mark.
Yeah.
I think you can see it played out on air.
Yeah.
I think it would be disingenuous to be like, he's committed treason. Cause what we're talking about is treason. Like the acts that we're talking about are sedition against America.
I mean, you say that, but it's like stealing an election. Is that so bad?
I mean, if it was Dukes of Hazzarding it, you know, like how are they going to get away with this one? Stealing an election? Oh boy.
Right.
They stole.
You're in a Patton Oswalt bit about, Bush and Cheney.
They got a little bit of data and they ran with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, that's shady, but that's not this. But this is.
No, this is crime.
This is crime.
This is crime.
And you can't hide behind the idea that it was like these wonderful people in the intelligence agencies because it's very clearly forensically been studied and that is not the case. So, I still don't think he's committed treason. When I have heard him in the past talk about, like, people are investigating him, I always take that with a grain of salt. I always have heard things from, like, McClatchy. I've read those articles where it's like they're investigating social media's presence and like, right-wing media's. Is this intentional? Was there coordination and stuff like that? That has always been the point of that investigation. And if that was going on a year and a half ago, and Alex is on air talking about advanced knowledge of leaks and hacked documents and stuff like that, then he has to know that, like, I'm in the fucking hopper.
Yeah.
So here's my prediction. Either Alex needs to flip and change his narrative, which I don't think is ever going to happen, or shit's going to get real dark. He might get indicted too. I never thought this until I listened to this episode.
Disagree.
I think that he might get indicted.
I really don't think anybody is listening to this.
We talked about this off air. I don't think serious people take this seriously.
I think that if you have,
I mean, part of the reason that we take it seriously is because we are comedians.
Not serious.
We are decidedly unserious people.
I think that if you are investigation and you're focusing on Roger Stone, and you realize, oh, Roger Stone has buddied up with this right-wing media network.
Yeah.
You'd probably, one of the easiest forensic things to do is like find out what he said on that show on various days.
Yeah.
So I do think that this stuff is very well known to investigators.
Right.
I think it has to be. If it's not, then boy, you guys.
Here's why I feel like, and this is not to say that it is more valid. Here's why I feel like my assessment of this particular situation regarding what the FBI regards as serious is more valid. I listen to way less Alex Jones than you.
Fair enough.
And generally speaking, of the 99.99% of the population, we all feel like Alex Jones can be disregarded.
Right.
And it is never a bad idea to suggest that people investigating things can disregard details that would help them.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's generally the reality.
I mean, it just goes back to that, like when you're looking at one thing, your peripheral vision is blurred.
Yeah.
You know, like if you focus on one thing, you don't see the very obvious thing on the side.
Yeah, of course.
And that's this.
And the obvious thing, though, is at the same time, InfoWars. You know?
And it's damning.
Yeah.
So, in this next clip, Alex talks about, these Soros hacks and these DC leaks, and the DNC leaks. And he says that they say things that they don't say, but it sounds exactly like all of his narratives.
They're a bunch of hacks?
Well,
so they're like, have you ever heard about InfoWars plain food yet?
Yeah. White activists and black activists are different. They sound like...
The DNC emails are out. There's tens of thousands of them. Within days of them being out, we've already gotten into the emails. They're up on InfoWars.com, GrudgeReport.com, from the Daily Caller and others have dug them up, saying... We're going to bring in the migrants and get a bunch of government money to take care of and then use them as political weapons and make it the new normal and merge the Middle East with Europe and take over the U.S. and use the new immigrant groups as our political voting bloc to control everything and call everybody racist that don't go along with it. I mean, this is a criminal conspiracy, and we have the diary. It's open and shut. It's open and shut. Going back to Mr. Hagman in a moment, we are running a special on one of our top nutraceuticals.
God
that is just
damn
really,
it! Fuck! How can you commit
recipe.
A crime and sell shit in the same sentence?
Basically,
that is solid work!
We got a special guy.
I just shot a man in the face, and also we got an Easter special going on.
I watched some of these Netflix documentaries about various crimes, and I will admire them for not trying to sell something during them.
He committed a crime and tried to sell something in the same fucking sentence. That's kind of heroic.
It's amazing.
On a certain level, that is heroic.
Might be the best ad pivot.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone drink.
That might be the tops.
So, I'll say... there's been a lot of uncertainty about a lot of things for a long time. There's been some, impressions of certainty.
After the clips you've played, there is some less uncertainty.
And then also with this, like, I'll admit that an indictment isn't 100% proof of fact. But
right. No,
it is a claim based on evidence that has been collected.
Right.
And based on everything that our information and our criminal justice system,
right,
or investigative bodies have put out, it is very clear that DC Leaks and Guccifer 2.0 were entities for Russian hackers to use to disseminate information that they stole,
yes,
from the DNC,
yes,
and from Soros and from John Podesta later than,
right,
this.
Now, why this can absolutely be confirmed as true is because for all of Mueller's indictments, these are the
ones...
They
want us to say Mueller. I've been criticized
really?
About this.
Oh, okay.
Apparently
Mueller.
It's Mueller.
Sorry.
I've gotten some blowback on this.
You know what? I never know. Like, there's
Mueller
Bill.
Mueller sounds better.
Like, there was a Cubs player named Bill Mueller for a while, but I didn't know if it was ever
I don't want to be a dick, but someone has yelled at me about
no,
this.
No, agreed. I'm fine with that.
Fine.
Mueller. Here's why this one I feel like can absolutely be confirmed as true regardless, is that this is the first indictment I feel like that Mueller's brought that will mean nothing. Because none of the 12 people that he has indicted will ever be extradited to the United
no,
States.
It's the same
what
thing
are
with
you
the,
talking
with
about?
The companies. Six, 8 months ago or so, he indicted some companies. Remember that?
Which ones?
Some Russian companies that were involved.
Oh yeah, no, you're right.
But it's the same thing.
Fair enough.
Of like the,
but that's, it's just like, guys, we're presenting incontrovertible evidence simply because nothing can be done about it.
No, those people
like
are not going to be extradited.
Yeah, yeah, of course not. What yep. kind of world would Trump, who fucking loves Putin, ever be
and
like
as we're recording this probably is talking to
yeah,
him right
and,
now.
Yeah, and well, talking is a hard word to use. I would say giving him a handy. Like, what world would he be like, okay, well, we gotta do this.
Hey, Mueller, come up with some good shit. Hey, isn't that right, Vlad?
Hey, Putin, give me 12 guys from your military so I can prosecute them in the United States. Suck. Come on.
Yeah, not a
that
chance.
Never would happen.
So, but I agree with the bottom line of what you're saying, and that is that I think this is absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
That these were the people who were involved in the DC hacks,
yeah.
DC leaks, and,
it's undoubted,
and Guccifer.
It cannot
and so
be disputed.
It makes it that much more embarrassing that Alex says this.
Oh no!
Everybody has to move at once, then they can't get us all.
Yes, we need to come out. We need to come out with this information.
Mass wave information warfare attacks.
Roger that.
Well, hey, I want to salute the folks that hacked the Democrats. They're criminals. I want to salute the folks that hacked Soros. I mean, and listen, this is only the beginning. It's only the beginning, isn't it?
Oof. Salute.
I mean, yeah.
Salute to you hackers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy. He wouldn't say this stuff if he knew. Like, this is a guy who's being tricked. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, there is a version that he would, like, there is a person who would say that if he knew.
Yeah.
And I don't think that fits Alex Jones's profile.
No.
I think he is completely hook, line, and sinker on this stupid narrative at August 16th, 2016. Who knows what he knows later, but at this point, he's being fucking lied to.
Undoubtedly.
And he is thrilled yeah. about it. And that's why he's so outward with things that are damning and evidence.
Yeah. Okay, so here's how we get Alex. All right? Both of us move to Texas. We spend...
I'm into it.
We... First off,
I loved it down in Austin.
Yeah, no, it was great down in Austin.
It'd be nice to be closer to my parents. I love the city. There's so yeah. much there. There's that great hot sauce shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is not a good hot sauce shop in Chicago.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So what we do, spend 2 to 4 years in law school, pass our LSATs, pass the bar, go to town, right?
All
right. We spend 4 years as public defenders. Then we parlay that into a private practice.
Okay.
Eventually, we run on the campaign.
Freezing
of both.
At homes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And homes.
We've got the whole thing, right?
They have two pretend relatives of yours as partners.
Then.
Just to get more names on the sign.
Then, 15 years from now, we run for attorney general.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Finally, we have the authority to take the information that we have gathered over this past 2 years and defeat Alex Jones once
and
for all.
And by that point, statute of limitations has come up.
Yeah, but we don't need to worry about that.
I don't know if there's a statute of limitations on treason.
That's a good question. Is there a statute of limitations? Well, he committed treason about 10 years ago, but there's nothing we can do.
Accessory to treason. Like, cause I don't think, I know how bad a propagandist he is, but like, I still think that, like, there are people who are, from my view.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I don't know everything. I only have the information that I have. I think that there are people who are actively involved in this and people who are passively involved. Alex is passively involved in the treason aspect of it.
Yeah.
He's actively involved in the propaganda part of it.
Yeah.
I think that propaganda is not a crime, but should be. I don't think you would necessarily have a crime to hang him on for that.
Yeah.
I think that in terms of his involvement in all this, I think that he's probably a guy who,
both why he is used for this specific purpose. Like, people tell him way too much. Or, at least for way too much.
They tell him strategically way too much.
Yeah, yeah. They tell him way too much for two guys who spend all of our time talking about Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
But in reality, they tell him way more than is necessary in order to get out in front of the narrative and make it seem crazy.
But I also think that it's possible that, like, the Steves and the Rogers, who were manipulating him, because it's very clear that that's a huge part of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I also think that, like,
he's an idiot.
From everything I can tell, and I might be, like I say, I might be wrong about everything, but, like, everything I can tell, you have Steve and Roger coordinatingly manipulating him on this side, and
yeah,
you have Larry Nichols manipulating him, but I don't think it's all involved. Like, I don't think the three of them are involved.
No.
I think Larry Nichols is another side thing. But he's being...
Yeah, exactly. Larry Nichols is not part of the cabal.
He's being pulled in a similar direction by Larry, too. He's being manipulated in a similar anti-Hillary way.
Yeah, but Larry is more fun about it.
Absolutely. And I don't think Larry Nichols is committing treason. I think he's just a crazy old dude.
He's just a lunatic.
He's just a crazy old liar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But... I lost my train of thought entirely, but I think that when you have a situation like this, it's the burden of proof of someone actually doing, like, something that we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about treason.
We are talking about treason. He should be hung by the neck until dead, I believe.
The burden of evidence is pretty high. And when I look at Alex and I look at stuff like this, like, what's crazy to me, legitimately, is that looking at this episode, the day after Roger Stone 100% was in touch with Russian intelligence, you have Alex saying fucking damning stuff, that he knows things, and he's been told stuff. I still think he's on the outside. I still think that there's an innocence there, which is hard for me to wrestle with as someone who studies him and hates him, and thinks he should be held accountable for so many things.
Yeah.
I don't know how to deal with this. Like, this to me was such a hard thing to wrestle with that I've found something. Alex, you are bragging on air of advance notice of leaks that are going to come out, which is a huge part of what you deny is part of your information base in the present.
Yeah.
I still think the only thing reason he's lying about it now is because he's realized he was lied to back then.
At the very least, he is finally aware that he is an accessory.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's an accessory to treason, which kinda still is treason. Or maybe even not
disagree.
Kinda.
And
it
the,
is.
And the cover-up is crazy. And the cover-up is what we see going on right now with all the modern-day Alex stuff.
Right.
Which is why it's so boring.
I think so, too. Yeah.
So boring. Because it's just... And that's why I wish he would just go back to being weird.
I kind of think if he bailed on Trump, the Fox News people would follow.
Yeah, I think he'd be the bellwether.
Yeah.
I think if
he got mass approval from being like, holy shit, Trump lied to us the whole time.
Like, if he
If
he somehow was, like, proof of concept.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, this can work.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Then they would jump on board.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible. He certainly led them down this road. I don't know. What I come away from more and more is that I don't know. I don't know, but I know. You know?
I know people have committed treason. That's not a arguable fact at this point.
The added information that I get from listening to this episode and talking about it is not like, it doesn't invalidate anything that I thought before.
Yeah.
It adds to it a little bit in terms of, like, figuring out the picture of stuff. But it doesn't invalidate anything. It doesn't, you know, like, our previous concept of what happened is very intact, just with more, like,
yeah,
It's well, more, it's just evidence that Alex has information that he's not saying.
Yeah.
And that part is like, something's gonna have to happen with that.
But at the same time, the question is, if you're Mueller, whether or not you are aware that you are going to be attacked by a foreign power and report it or not is a question of like, can you actually prosecute for somebody?
Sure.
You know, like Roger Stone.
That's every DA's.
Yeah, exactly.
Juggling act.
Yeah. If you're Roger Stone, you're aware that, as we know now, Russia committed an act of a war,
a concert
whichever you'd
act.
Like. But at the same time, one of the realities we have to admit is that the only way that we could possibly know this is if we hacked into their systems in the same way that they did to ours.
Sure.
You know, like it's not possible to know that in any other way. So if you want to say, you know, they committed an act of war against us.
But you're now.
You committed an act of war against them.
You're getting into whataboutism here. And I don't actually think that it's the same thing.
I'm not saying it in a, like, moral, like, we should do. I'm saying it in more of a.
I don't think us knowing about this is the same, as what, like, the defense awareness, the knowledge, I don't think it requires the same thing as the spear phishing and hacking.
Right.
Because some of that can just be done by monitoring, suspicious people.
Agreed.
So,
been rightly pointed out that we absolutely helped install Boris Yeltsin. So, it's not
in the fucking 90s.
I know, but that's not, they didn't declare war on us then. Like, it's not, I'm not saying I'm on the side of anybody. I'm just saying that this is something that should be, that we should be aware of before people start saying that this is an act of war and we should, like,
oh, no, I think it's an
burn
act,
everything down. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's an act of war. I think it's an act of, I mean, it's espionage.
What, desperation?
It's espionage, certainly.
Yeah.
And the end result of it is, of course, don't fucking go to war with Russia.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
That idea, I understand what you're saying, and the quid pro quo stuff of like, we fuck with you, so this is okay. I don't agree with that, because that's
I'm not
stupid.
Saying it's okay. I don't think anybody's okay.
We should also stop doing that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a different conversation. Now, but in terms of like, how do we respond to this? I think the only thing that you can do, and
is
we go back to
demonize the EU
and the Jews.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
that makes sense.
No, what we already talked about this, the idea that Mueller is putting out these indictments that are impossible to ever enact because they're not going to be extradited here. Yeah,
of course not.
You have to get the evidence out that this is what happened. So as much truth as possible, and Ken Burns can make a documentary 15 years from now.
Yeah.
Get all of that out there. And then prosecute as many bad actors here as you can.
Yeah.
And hope to mitigate the damage and then educate. You hope to be able to, like, get people to understand this is the process that happened as the investigative patterns and the, like, the ways that information was known can be revealed, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You start to understand, like, these are the things you should look out for online.
Right.
These are the things, you know, you should be careful about what you trust, because it's very easy to manipulate your opinions using algorithms and shit like that. Because that is a huge part of the story that's not criminal.
Yeah.
Then you take the criminal piece of it, and you hopefully put so many of these actors in prison. Trump is probably going to get spared, but like you get people like Roger Stone to go to prison. You get Manafort in prison. Hopefully some of these other people, I mean, Flynn should go to prison. Some of these other folks, maybe they flip and become state's evidence, state's property. Maybe they, you know, make some deals for themselves, and we try and wash this national nightmare out of our hair and then move on in 2020.
Right. Right,
we
right.
hope that that is what we can do, but I mean, I don't think it's possible.
No, as we all know.
That's what needs to happen.
Even if the Democrats run the fucking table and win every election, they're still giant pussies, so they're never going to actually impeach Trump.
But what, no, he doesn't need to be impeached. Like, I understand that we all want him impeached, but he doesn't need to be.
He needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
Perhaps more importantly, the Republican Party needs to be stopped, which would be better served in our interests if Trump was just neutralized with an entirely Democratic Congress.
Yeah.
Like, we want to keep him as president. We just want to make sure that all of the dumb shit which is probably based on, at the very least, a diminished intellectual capacity.
But it might be much better optics if he stays as president, unable to enact any legislation.
Exactly.
An incompetent who yells all the time in office. Yeah. Maybe that's a better thing for the Democrats than impeachment even.
Right.
There are ways around this, but I honestly...
It's like if Andrew Jackson was never allowed to implement any of the things that he said.
Right.
Like, he's allowed to say all that bullshit, but none of it actually happened. Like, that's the better circumstance. Because, ultimately, we kind of want Trump as the president in order to make sure that we continue winning elections.
I don't
because
think,
he
that's
is
not
the
why.
Dumb fuck.
That's not
fucking
why.
Idiot.
That's not why. I think that's ugly. I think that's an ugly, self-serving, opportunistic idea. I think that the only good thing about having him president is that there's maybe a teaching opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like as long as he stays in office and is, floundering and so combative and like a child, like there is an opportunity for people watching it to learn like, oh, this is that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
You can learn like, we don't like that. Because here's what I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of European countries, are older than us in terms of their existence.
I reject that premise. No, I'm just fucking with you. Of course not.
A lot of them don't necessarily have the same, boundaries because of various world wars. And various kingdoms and stuff like that.
Right.
But a lot of them have identities that go much further back than 1776.
Absolutely.
And we're a bit childish. And I think that on some level, our country maybe is going through growing pains right now. And there's one opportunity, in front of us, that is we lean into the combative childishness of Trump that he's giving us the opportunity for. And that's a nightmare. That's a disaster. And then I hope everyone invades us. Or the other,
we are due for a regime change.
Or the other opportunity is we have one of these Kierkegaardian, crises that come with your development in life.
Yeah.
And we realize like, oh shit. Eh, that was a mistake. And everything comes into sharp focus that like, oh, that was petulantly acting out and that was childish. We need to take everything much more seriously. We were before and it felt bad, but we need to get back on the straight and narrow path.
Right.
And maybe we can move forward from that. Maybe that's idealistic, but I think that that's a possibility.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's not like America hasn't survived a white supremacist senile president before.
But it's
like
not,
we've
it's,
got
it's
a lot under our belt.
It's not the same as now.
But that's the thing.
The world
hasn't necessarily survived a white nationalist, white supremacist, senile president from America that controls
movement.
Exactly. Yeah. The world is like it's unfortunate, but currently the interesting thing is watching the world kind of realize we can't trust America.
Not even just America, the order.
Yeah.
The international order.
Yeah.
That we created after World War II.
Right.
That, admittedly, a lot of problems with it.
But at the same time, this has occurred before. Like the...
After World War I.
Well, I mean, no. I mean after World War II. Like in the 70s and in the 90s, the EU has had a lot of situations where they're on the cusp of breaking apart. Like, this is a regular thing. Like, Europe is fucking nuts.
Yeah, but they're not the same as when daddy is drunk, you know?
Yeah, okay. Now, that's a great way of putting it.
It's not the same as when, like, and that's even maybe pejorative to our international partners and allies, but, like...
No, I kind of think we're good.
We've created a situation in terms of the international order where yeah. the United States has so much power.
Yeah.
So much, like, superpower in terms of, not control, but in terms of, like, this, we're going to be on the right side of things.
Yeah. Just and a general hegemony.
Yeah.
Hegemony.
And when we indicate we're not gonna do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And not because, like, the world can't do it without us. They can. But if we become bad actors, the world's fucked.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of built around the concept that has been, in place probably for the last 40 years of, like, America's military is such that as far out as anybody wants to go, as far out as any war or invasion wants to go, if you go too far, America does have all the guns. You know?
So many.
Like, our guns are, Russia is building up their military. Oh, China is building up to their military. They want to increase it by tenfold. That still puts them at 1/1000th fold of the dumb bullshit that America has.
Yeah.
So, for so long, even the people who want to act as invaders or who want to, annex territory know that there's a point where it's not a world war. It's America blowing your ass fucking up, you know?
Well, and I think the third world understands that.
Yeah.
I think and I think that refugees fleeing a lot of those places understand that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, they understand it all too much now.
And that is another piece of the puzzle in terms of this anti-immigration, anti-refugee worldview. I don't know. I think we're spinning way too far into this.
Yeah, we're going wild in speculation.
But I love this sort of conversation. I think what we're butting our heads up against is that, like, both of us are fucking fatalistic and we think we're doomed. But at the same time, I have a tiny bit of, like, there's a chance. And then at the same time, like, we do a show about Alex Jones and I'm sitting here with dead evidence, dead to rights, that he knew shit that he claims he doesn't know.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm still saying that, like, you know what? I think he's still being tricked. You know, like, maybe I'm dreamy-eyed optimist, but.
Right. No. My fatalism isn't born out of America not surviving Trump or the white nationalist.
No, it's about climate change.
It's about climate change. Like, while we're doing this shit, we're fucking up the world.
Well, which is why.
Which only creates more refugees, which only creates more nationalist separatism movements, which only creates more people who are willing to fucking let the world die.
Which is why in the memo that came from the Open Societies from Soros, that got hacked, they were talking about this refugee influx being the new normal.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to be the new normal.
Absolutely.
Not because of some sort of, like, desire for, hey, let's fuck up white people with bringing in brown people.
Right.
It's just because you look at the realities of the world, and if trends keep going the way they are, there's going to be huge swashes of land that are going to be uninhabitable. Yeah. And people are going to have to be displaced. And you better fucking let them in.
Just think about how people have reacted to Puerto Rican refugees.
Think about
are you a citizen? Yes! I live in America!
Think about how our government has dealt with the deaths in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Just been like, nah, there's like 10 people.
You're like, what are you, 10,000, 10 million? Don't worry about it. You're not mainland.
No. Well, that's what you were saying earlier when I said I lived in Hawaii. Anyway.
Full
circle.
That was a joke.
It was satire.
It was satire.
So, I want to leave you with a fun clip.
Yay!
Because this episode has been, I would say, largely evidence that Alex Jones is a party to treason.
It's been revelatory more than it has been.
Yeah, when I started listening to this, I didn't expect to hear the things that I heard. But I didn't also expect to hear this. Now, I have always been a critic of Alex Jones's childhood literacy. And listen to this.
I was like 7 years old and I was reading the Star Wars trilogy in one paperback that my dad, had got episode 4, 5, and 6. So I was reading adult.
I think I actually read that same paperback.
He loves science fiction. That's what we were talking about earlier.
I think I actually read that same paperback.
Fine, but hold on.
Okay.
Stuff when I was 7, 8 years old. Really good reader. Wasn't good at spelling or math, but I've been a good reader. I mean, I was reading like a, you know, 8th grade level when I was about 5. And I suddenly started reading history books, and they were just so entertaining. I remember being about 10 years old, my mom's going, "You're reading Nietzsche? Do you understand that?" And I'm like, "Not really, but I'm into this."
Nietzsche.
But did you understand that? Not really, but I'm into this.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing when he was a kid. He was just looking at books.
So.
Also, I would say that Nietzsche is not, history. Necessarily.
Oh, well, I mean, the parts of history that he's involved with don't go well.
Not great.
No.
There's a lot of philosophy in there, certainly. A lot of ideas.
Yeah. But, and if you're somebody who's into that, I'm not into you.
Also,
I could let that go.
Also, if you're a kid and you're like, "I don't understand this, but I'm into it."
So I'm 8 years old and I'm reading Nietzsche. Now, obviously that makes me both an interesting person and I think I should be murdered. Like, that's what you say to me if you're an 8 year old who...
This just furthers my argument that I've been making this entire goddamn time that Alex was reading books that he didn't understand.
Yeah.
And is now claiming he understood them. He just said he didn't fucking understand them at 10.
I wonder if he understood the Star Wars trilogy.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I mean, he plays the Imperial March all the time on his show.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not great.
That's a good point.
But also, I'll say that when I was like 8, 9 years old, I read a bunch of Tintin that my dad had, and I didn't understand how fucking racist that shit was.
Ridiculous.
And I grew up, and I'm like, I liked the stories, but holy shit.
Right.
Holy shit. Right. These are some of the most racist shit I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
This is crazy.
I don't understand.
Why was this in the house?
I don't understand how everybody who watched Song of the South as a child isn't, like, wandering around going, like, "What the fuck was the world like?"
It's crazy. I watched that when I was a child. I'd forgotten about it. And then in college, I watched it with a young lady. And I was like, "Oh, dear God."
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no. This is almost as racist as a fucking Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Like, it's crazy.
Also, The Child Catcher. Not great.
The Child Catcher?
From Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So anyway, what we come away with, I think, is no concrete, I don't know. I don't know how to summate this.
It's the problem that we run into is the limits of our, well, when I say our, I mean your, investigative abilities. Insofar as we have, I think, the most circumstantial evidence that you could ever need to convict somebody of committing treason. But we don't have that, like, eyewitness. Like, we don't have that, DNA print. You know what I'm saying?
His own eyewitness.
Well, yeah, but if you, we couldn't actually get him to, I mean, I suppose if he testified, he'd just admit
to
everything.
If we could do cross and just be like, "Hey, why did you say this?"
See, again, so we move to Austin.
Become lawyers.
Become lawyers. Pass the bar.
Or
spend four years as public defenders. That shows that we care about the,
his ex-wife is now trying to sue him and unplug InfoWars, which I think is a stupid idea.
What?
But if we get called as material witnesses, but you know what? Even if you're a witness, you can't make Alex answer something. You can just bring things up. This isn't going to work.
No. We got to do more planning on this.
Yeah. Look, here's the fucking deal. Alex knew stuff. Alex 100% knows. He knows way more. You look at the fucking date, you look at the timeline, you look at all this, it's just, it's dead to rights.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. I love this because this to me, and I know I said this earlier, but this is the reason why his show sucks now. He knows people are listening.
Yeah.
And he knows he committed crimes.
Yeah.
So he just can't do the same things. So what he does is he fills time with just screaming about dumb shit, saying the same things he did back before that are less interesting. You could go into the fucking Chimera stuff much deeper now, and that'd be fun.
Yeah.
But then he has people like Mike Rotondo on and pretends that, like, oh, this is fun. You know, we're gonna save you or whatever. Or yeah. scream about yeah, Muslims. Yeah, yeah. You know, like he does that stuff because that's what is okay. What's not okay is recognizing that, dude, you are in the barrel. You don't know it. You do know it. But you might not be aware of it, Alex. Your time is coming.
I you know what? I feel like this is, I feel like you're wrong based on like the Megyn Kelly interview situation where Alex knew
no.
that he said some shit where he should have been dead to rights.
No.
And then whenever it actually came out, there was fucking nothing on it.
No, because.
Like, he's the same thing.
No, because he understood how Megyn Kelly's show works. They're not going to play the clip where he says this was all fake.
Right.
They were just going to try and make him feel bad by playing the family members and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he has a steely upper lip about that. He doesn't give a shit
well,
about that.
Well, he's a psychopath.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't give a shit about that. He's just going to say, like, I want to apologize to them for what the media has said about me. I want to make it right. I want, look, everyone lies about me.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
He knows that Megyn Kelly's show isn't going to dip into, like, okay, well, here's what you did say. Comment now beyond that. Because here's what happens when you do that. Alex will storm out, and he won't sign the release.
Fair enough.
He didn't sign the release beforehand. He's not a fucking idiot.
The way that he was acting about, the way that he was afraid, kind of, that seemed genuine to me. It suggests to me that he signed it beforehand.
No.
Like, he wouldn't have been afraid if he knew,
no.
if he had final cut.
He didn't
Alex does not have any fear.
He didn't have final cut, but he didn't have any, like, the reason he was afraid.
Or
is,
rights of approval or
the
whatever.
The reason that he's
like.
Not afraid is because he's not a journalist.
Right. He's an entertainer.
He pretends that he understands how these shows are made and stuff like that, but he doesn't really understand it. So he knows that for hours that he probably was on a hot mic and
right.
probably said some stupid shit that could be used against
him. Oh, he said the N-word 45 times.
No, that's Ted Nugent. But like he knows that he probably like off camera had like he's seen the jinx and is like, well, I probably said something that really was fucked up and they could use that against me. Something like that. That's
while he's peeing, he was like, ugh, I committed treason. How did they guess? I don't know.
That's what he's afraid of on some level, not realizing that this is a fucking saccharine-y sweet Sunday night show.
Yeah.
That all they want to do is make him look bad about Sandy Hook.
But not too bad.
Not
they
too
wanna,
bad.
They want to make him look like he was wrong. And that is something that is indicative of a larger issue.
If he stormed
but
off,
not
it would,
like
it
him.
Would ruin their fucking show.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would ruin the entire proceeding.
Yeah, the whole show was about him squirming.
Right.
It was not about him being caught.
As was the pre-show that he did. It was about him squirming. It works for both of them. Anyway, I don't know. Let's end this.
They're all in cahoots.
In some way, yes.
Yeah. No. Not, absolutely.
Not like they're in concert with each other, no. like quid pro quo.
They
but
all
yes.
have similar
yes.
goals.
Yes.
They all kind of know
they're
what it is they're going
con
for.
They're all
con men. They're all
Even
con
Megyn
men.
Kelly.
Yeah. They're oh, all... well, have you seen her daytime talk show?
Did you see her interview Putin?
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. I don't know how it is we're supposed to combat this in a way that doesn't involve, like, actually putting propagandists in jail. Like, if propagandists never experiences any consequences for their actions, then it's never going to stop. Because propaganda is only going to get more sophisticated.
And it has.
Yeah.
It's become information warfare or info wars.
Ah.
But I still think most of it falls under the heading of free speech. It's everyone's responsibility.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
It's everyone's responsibility to be smart and, like, because it's not a crime to lie, except in the situations where you're lying about a building burning down.
Right.
Or something like that. There are, look, dude, look, propaganda should be illegal, but then you're going to open up the can of worms of like, what is propaganda?
Right.
Then
but that's,
that definition
but
becomes
that's ultimately,
fucking impossible.
That's ultimately a slippery slope argument.
No, it's not. It's a logistics argument. It's what, like, where, at what point do you draw the line? That's not the same as a slippery slope. The slippery slope would be like, I say this is illegal, now this is, now this is,
but
now
that,
this is.
But that's the argument against what you're saying is that if we are going to start making laws about propaganda, then it matters who is in control of how those laws are prosecuted. Like with Trump and illegal immigration. All of these fucking people.
Well, I mean, it's the conversation we had with the Patriot Act. This is being put into power. Who knows who's going to be president next?
Right. And Obama, again, deported more than GW did.
Yep.
You know, it's like, regardless of who's in power, it does matter about how they exercise that power of prosecution.
I agree.
So I don't know. It's a slippery slope argument in the way that who the fuck knows if an autocrat is going to become president?
That's not a slippery slope argument. That is a concern. That's not, there is a difference between.
Fair enough. I accept that.
No, that's a voicing of a concern of what could be possible in the future. That's different than a slippery slope. That's like, I do this and then.
Right.
Before you know it, X.
Well, but at the same time,
the idea
Trump
of like,
is interesting.
The idea of like, we make this legal, that means that in the future, the other person can do this because it's legal. That's not a slippery slope. That's just recognizing the future exists.
But that's also the creation of ICE and the way that we all assumed that Obama.
A lot of people were against it
was
from
fine.
The jump.
Right. And Obama was against it from the jump, and then he fucking allowed it to go hog wild. And then Trump gets in power, and all of a sudden that hog wild that Obama allowed, we didn't even know could get worse.
But that's bullshit to some extent, because like, I think that you, even as like, just as a person who is out and about, living my life, I knew that ICE was doing some really fucked up stuff even before the election.
Yeah.
Even in Chicago.
That's true. Yeah.
Like there were, I would go to open mics and I would hear from people that like, there were just like traps set up.
Yeah.
That they were just trying to get any immigrants, legal or illegal, jammed up. To separate it.
Right.
And that stuff was going on. I quit doing stand up 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So like they were doing that well in the past. Anyway, who gives a shit? Not who gives a shit about that, but like we gotta end this.
No. And all I'm saying is that in Chicago,
there have been a bunch of murders recently too.
U.S. Immigration and Customs, Enforcement is at 101 West Congress Parkway, Chicago, Illinois. If you feel like protesting them, feel free to show up at
any
point in time.
Also, let's be fucking clear about this. In the last like week and a half or so, there's been some murders by the police here in Chicago. I mean, there always are, but these ones are worse.
The Chicago Police Department is a white supremacist organization that is willing to murder. We have black sites where people are tortured.
What's that, Holman site?
No, the Chicago Police Department is something that should be fucking abolished and replaced with, community policing or something like that. But yeah, we're overwhelmed by a white supremacist terrorist organization.
Good times.
So, yay!
Jordan, we need to get out of here. Our website is knowledgefight.com.
It is! If you wanted to follow us on Twitter, @knowledgefight!
We're on Facebook.
Absolutely. You can go to iTunes. You could download an episode.
Mm-hmm.
You could share an episode.
Please.
You could leave a
especially,
review.
I would say, if you've made it this far, please share this episode, because I think that the evidence we've uncovered here, I think a lot of people need to hear. Maybe not some of our ramblings, but the stuff where Alex is very clearly, he has knowledge in advance.
Yeah, no, this is probably.
It's damning.
Not incontrovertible, but goddamn close to
it's
proof that Alex Jones was aware of treason.
And he needs to be asked way more very specific questions.
Absolutely.
So now we've come to the end of this, and it is your turn, dickweed.
Oh, really? Why do I have to be called a dickweed?
I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't like doing it. So
I'm telling you something right now.
I'm thrilled to make you.
The thing that bothers me the most is that,
don't you fucking say Neil Sean again.
At least for today.
All right.
Is that the U.S. ambassador to England absolutely lobbied the government to try and get Tommy fucking Robinson released from prison. So, if I have anybody who should go fuck themselves, I would say 70% of the State Department, go fuck yourself.
We can't end on that. That didn't come up in the show.
Oh, okay.
Tommy Robinson did come up in the show, but the 70% of the State Department didn't. You have to choose someone else. I understand, and I agree with you.
All right.
But the whole bit is that someone came up in the show.
But this has been a show entirely about Alex.
That's not true. Tons of other people have come up.
Well, I mean, obviously the most important person.
The fancy boy.
That needs to go fuck himself.
The styler and profiler in chief.
That will almost certainly wind up getting fucked by himself. Go fuck yourself, Roger Stone.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.